Want to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? How about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamp envelope to the mighty WJFK, P.O. Box 3649, Washington, D.C. 20007. Thank you, and God bless. You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
The Don and Mike Show. I can never mention that enough. Still a little discombobulated here today.
The Don and Mike Show. The Don and Mike. The Don and Mike. The Don and Mike. The Don and Mike Show.
There you go.
That's better.
How about that? Is that funny, Coach Gibbs? All right, thank you. Thank you, Coach Gibbs. Oh,
you
wow.
can call okay. Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Now let's let these guys
do. Nazi with one true enemy. Himself, a man of faith, a man of hate, and a soul torn apart. Your discretion advised.
You know, good afternoon. Oh, I got the opening all screwed up here. And I got to know that everybody's laughing at me right now. Sorry, I've let you down again. Anyway. You know, Sig Heil, here's Rob.
Thank you, Coach. Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. Trainable, and all the ships at sea. Ready to query the mind of any young widow with a series of sex questions. Don Geronimo and Mike!
Whoa!
Sarah!
Yeah! Thank you, Robbie. All right, thank you, everybody, listening to the Don and Mike Show. A new episode, 010904, and it's Friday.
Hi, Donald Mike. Buzz Burbank here.
Wow. Levels are crazy always. Thank you, Buzz, and welcome to the show, everybody. Here we go. Phone number from anywhere in America, 877-365-3636. From Canada, call 800-636-1067. Washington, D.C., 202-432-1067. We accept your calls at any time, especially during the rotating random phone scans.
Mm-hmm. I know you have a lot to say. Would you please allow me for the first 10 seconds of the show?
Sure.
I've been waiting till we went on the air just to do this, okay?
It wasn't even an inch of snow!
Thank you. Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
It was one of those weird Washington, D.C. moments.
Yes. Jesus.
There was a trace of snow today. And I guess it was icy this morning, and there were many, many accidents.
I was out there.
On the highways and the byways.
Yes.
And it's awful.
8:30 this morning, I realized there might be a problem when there was a dusting of snow, and I came up to my little V intersection, placed the brakes on my all-wheel drive vehicle, and continued on for 30 feet, unable to stop my vehicle.
Ooh.
Not knowing. And I'm a New England guy. I figured I'd know. But apparently, others were not so fortunate. My car came to rest, and I proceeded on my way.
Good. Joe Gibbs, how do you feel about Mike's problems on the road today, Joe? Coach Gibbs, not funny.
Seems to tickle him.
Mike had a couple of problems today out there.
Now, those are all individuals edited together.
Spliced together.
Those are not, it's not like we looped those over and over again. No. Those are all moments when he laughed during that press conference.
We also have Gibbs, and the many times he referred to Snyder as either Dan or Daniel, but never Mr. Snyder.
Daniel mentioned, Daniel and I have been working nonstop. Daniel, here's what I know about Daniel. Daniel come down, he's first time I got to really know Daniel was in, to see the way Dan and I have been working, Daniel and all that. The time Daniel called me, it went real quick. Daniel, obviously, Daniel and I got that from Mr. Cook. Yes, sir, Mr. Cook.
That is fantastic.
What Mike was just describing, this problem with the dusting of snow that paralyzed the nation's capital today. Yeah. It is a Washington, D.C. phenomenon. So is, and we have to take at least a second to explain, the phenomenon that is the people who live in Washington, D.C. and have for many years, the way that Joe Gibbs is treated and thought of in this town. And I'm a big Joe Gibbs fan.
I am too.
I'm not a fan of Snyder. I've said since the first day, it's a great hire. If Snyder stays out of the way, it's great, mm-hmm. because who doesn't love Joe Gibbs?
Right.
But even I have to question, at some point, all of the coverage, and I know that it's a huge story, but around the country, you don't dig the fact, you can't relate to the fact that the headline in the Washington Post was, "The King is back." and last night on television, uh-huh. instead of Entertainment Tonight and Access Hollywood, they all had specials on.
Of course.
And all of the specials were, "The King has returned." Now, listen, don't get me wrong. I don't mean this is a slight to Joe Gibbs, who's a great coach, and it's a great moment, and we all get terribly caught up in the Redskins, and Joe Gibbs is everything that was good with the Redskins.
Right.
But really?
It is his second coming.
The King?
The King. King was a minor part of it. Many times they equated him with Jesus.
Uh-huh.
I mean, like the resurrection, the second coming.
Hold on, I've got it right here. If you'll give me just a second.
But Mike, Jesus never really could improve our special team.
No, not at all.
Hold on, USA Today.
Jesus had no discipline.
Give saves.
Now here's a guy.
Jesus just wasn't tough enough.
I'm gonna call this guy out. Jesus, are you kidding? Jesus would be my starting quarterback.
I understand. I'd have him as my coach,
even with the sandals.
No, I'm sorry. I'd keep him in his current position. My co-pilot.
Put him in concessions. Just give him a barrel of water and say, see what you can do.
You know, I'm beginning to think you are going to be at the head of the line.
No,
yeah.
No.
Don and I, the three of us are going to be up there, and he's going to go, yeah, okay, you guys, well, you know you're coming in, but you, get over here.
Oh, we'll all lock arms and go together.
You know why? Well, of course, you know. I know why you put Jesus in concessions. I know why.
Yeah.
Okay. I read the Bible. I know Jesus is a Jew. I know. Okay. I know what's happening there, Rob.
I just fell down two notches.
Oh, God. It's always better when he's got his fresh, you know, skinhead haircut.
His Aryan Nation
haircut. My God, there it is.
So,
not much up there now, Bob, Rob.
Turning gray, too.
Here's a guy that I've personally met and think is a damn good writer. He writes for USA Today. His name is John Saraceno.
Mm-hmm.
Saraceno. You know this guy.
Oh, great.
Yeah. John S.
Yeah, you know this guy. He's like a creepy-looking guy with a long hair and a beard, but a very nice guy. Alumni of Penn State. I've met him. I've chatted with him.
He looked like that in person? Does he still look like that?
Yeah, he does. So today he's writing the article in USA Today about Gibbs ready to be miracle worker. And to show you the mindset of the people in this town, and here's a guy who really pretty much in the USA Today writes it as it is.
Good.
The very last line of his column, Joe Gibbs equals God.
There it is.
And from this dude.
Mm-hmm. He's a USA Today guy, USA Today based here in the nation's capital.
I know.
He feels it.
No, mm-hmm. and he writes. Oh, excuse me. I didn't share that one with you.
Yeah, I know, and I've been sharing them all morning, so I'll probably share a few on the show, too.
Okay. He writes part of what I was trying to explain here, that there is a feeling in this area, in this region, of just gleefulness. But, ladies and gentlemen, even if the Redskins do go 16-0 for the next 5 years and win the next five Super Bowls, I really still think he's just a great football coach.
He is, and I agree with you, because that, on the front of the sports page of the Washington Post, answering the call. That's a religious reference.
And I mean, it is a gigantic headline, answering the call.
You want to get rich? We'll make WWGD bracelets.
what would Joe do?
Or what would Gibbs do? Yeah.
What would Gibbs do? Anyway, you know, I mean, no disrespect. It's just we should all be careful, myself included, being one of these Singa fans, just going, you know, oh, Joe, no. Joe, pray to Joe. Remember, this is the God we're praying to, okay? I will say this.
What a great laugh. He didn't laugh much when he was here the first time.
I think we heard yesterday in that 30-minute press conference him laugh more than he did in 11 years.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you tell me if you don't think of the Joker. This is Batman. Stop it, Joker.
That is fantastic.
There he is.
Makes me self-conscious about laughing myself now.
Yeah, all
no,
of us
don't.
Mm-hmm.
No, you got a great laugh. Yeah. You got a great natural laugh. Everybody's used to hearing you laugh.
Yeah, that's right. That's
We're never used to hearing Joe Gibbs.
I know.
Excuse me. The King laugh. Right.
But don't you think that's going to be the last time you hear him laugh?
Probably.
I don't think he's really going to laugh a lot after he gets rolling. He ain't a laughing kind of guy.
I don't think so either. We've got a ton of stuff here in the opening that we're going to have to work our way through because today's show is jam-packed. Hello, Don and Mike show. Scott, hello.
Hello, how are you?
Oh, now, I've just been hipped. Scott is the guy who won the Jeep that we gave away right before Christmas.
Scott works for a beer distributor, right? You're a driver for a distribution company?
Yes.
Yeah.
And have you sold the Jeep? Has it exploded? Are you suing us? Are you... what's the...
I'm keeping it. I'm selling that blue truck.
And, Scott, can you possibly remember the wonderful, beautiful line you had when we asked you what you felt about your fellow contestants and what you said?
Yeah, I'll clarify, it was eat ass.
Eat ass.
Eat ass.
There you go. Thought it was eat his ass.
Yeah.
But
no,
that was
late, though.
Right.
Okay, well, congratulations. Glad to know that the wheels are still on that thing.
Yeah, so, you know what, this morning, the icy roads, I've never seen such a mess with such little amount of snow.
All right, so you loved it. Very good.
All right, thanks.
But you did okay.
Have a good day.
All right, thanks.
All right.
There he is, Scott, safe because of a vehicle.
That's right.
Safe in unsafe conditions because of a vehicle given him by us. Listen, we got a press release here from the University of Maryland, an accredited university.
A real school.
They want to get this guy on the show. I don't think we should book him just because it's so friggin' ridiculous. They sent this special attention to us.
Mm-hmm.
They've offered up Professor Stephen McDonald as an expert interviewee.
What's his subject?
The
topic you have chosen is mouth rot and the green iguana.
Irritable bowel syndrome. What was one of the good ones from last time that kept getting dumped out over and over again?
But you mean because it went, well, it was...
you
it
can
was,
say it one time, you
that
can
was
say
the
it.
Stuff.
And there was another...
That was the one that we went back to again.
There was another one, though.
It
was,
there are many.
Premature.
Oh, that was it.
Premature E.
Right, P-E.
Mm-hmm. And that other word you can't say not even once.
So
that's what I thought.
Yeah.
So the deal is...
So that got deleted? What word?
But we'll save it for the box set.
Oh, J-O, when you said the M word for J-O. So this guy, he's a professor at University of Maryland, and he wants to talk to people about the psychological events that are happening with the return of Joe Gibbs.
Wow.
And how psychologically it is affecting people in the Washington area.
He's a fan psychologist.
And him, yeah, right.
Yeah.
Eat one. Eat ass, pal. There's no way you're getting on this show.
No, it was a great day, and now everybody's going to get down to the business of football.
You know how you get on this show? I'll tell you how you get on this show. You dedicate a book to Mike and to me,
mm-hmm.
and we've got it right here.
Cool.
A book that's written by, let's see, the author's name is Duck Miller.
Duck Miller sounds like a South kind of name.
Duck Miller.
Southern.
Name of the book is The Whistle Pig. As you can see, it's a real book. It's not one of these vanity pressings. It's by, who the hell is it? Canvasback Press. And right here, the most important stuff when you get past 2004, copyright, all the stuff with the Library of Congress, the very first page, dedicated to Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara, who always inspire me to do more.
Wow. That's very nice.
So I have no idea what this book is about.
A penguin.
Duck Miller.
What, Robbie?
Duck Miller.
Oh, God, Duck.
Does it say anything in the inside flap as to what it's about?
Well, let's see. I'll read you the beginning. The delightful stories of the Whistle Pig present a unique opportunity to participate in a search for lost treasure. That treasure is exploring all that's hidden within this collection. I don't know. Yeah. It looks to me, seriously, it looks like a book that I'd see in a store and probably go, ugh.
Not a chance.
I think that the whistle pig is like a southern name for a groundhog.
Really?
So is it a book about groundhog stories?
Groundhog Day!
Oh, no, there you go. Read one, Rob. There's one for you.
This is not the first time you've had a book dedicated to
you. No, we had a guy who wrote novelizations of the TV show. I think it was Sabrina the Teenage Witch. Mm-hmm.
So you got volumes there, different volumes?
No, there's a copy for you,
same
Mike.
Book.
Same book.
And I got a Buffy the Vampire Slayer book dedicated to me and a couple of nonfiction books about diet and colon.
Well, here it is.
Yeah, right.
Turn back the clock to a time when self-discovery through knowledge was a form of entertainment. All right, I'm not going any further than that.
Right. Thank you for the honor.
Exactly what you just did.
Thanks for the honor. We really, really do appreciate
Chuck
it.
Chuck Miller presents his readers with the opportunity to solve a literary puzzle and embark on a search for a hidden key.
Right. Goodbye. Thank you. Thank you for the honor. We dedicate today's show to Duck Miller. We want to turn around and dedicate the show today to Mr. Duck Miller. Before we get to what really has to be the lead story today, how often does this happen to you? I wonder often about, you know, I'm so tired of hearing there's a reason for everything and there's a plan.
Right.
And I really don't believe that. I believe we're like in a pinball machine and we're just bouncing off the sides.
You don't believe that things are meant to be?
No, things happen for a reason. This happens all the time, but today is one time when I noticed it. And tell me how many times has this happened to you? And it's nothing awful. It's just I'm coming to work, and I'm driving on a two-lane road with a double yellow line, and I'm behind a lady. The speed limit is 45. The lady is doing 25.
Mm.
And the back of her window is covered with snow, so she can't even see behind her. She's just doing 25. And
too lazy to brush it off.
And I'm doing everything I can just not to run her over. I mean, I'm pulling like 6 inches away from this broad's bumper, trying to give her the idea. Mm-hmm. So finally, after...
Is this this morning?
Yeah, no, this was on my way to work today.
Early
this afternoon. So as we are... There was no bad weather. The roads were totally dry. Whatever snow, you know, whatever 1/100th of an inch of snow we got, it's gone. She finally gets the idea that I'm riding on her ass, and I've got, incidentally, about 8 cars behind me.
Now,
who, because I drive a big gas-guzzling USV SUV like all good Republicans do. When I'm driving that thing, those people behind me, they can't see the little car in front of me. So I'm imagining that these people behind me think I'm the dope that's going 20.
Right.
So she finally gets the message and pulls off into a driveway area off the road so that everybody can pass her up.
Good. Was she elderly?
She was. She was old as dirt. And she pulled off on the side of the road and everybody passed her. Mm-hmm. And I right away hit it to 45 and didn't give her another thought. Then I'm going through the regular hustle and bustle with the red lights and the construction. And
she pulls up alongside of you with a handgun.
No, nothing like that.
That's just a fantasy.
I'm at I'm up at the corner by the Exxon station. I make the right-hand turn on red. When I make the right-hand turn on red, from what I think is the sneaky lane, because there are two right-hand on red lanes, but there's one that's only operating sometimes if the light is, you know, it's one of those.
Sure.
Right. So you pick the right one and you can sneak right in. Mm-hmm. Well, I think I'm on top of the world because I sneak into this lane. It's like, wow, I made it. And I look 4 car lengths ahead of me. Somehow, she has passed me.
Oh, no.
And think about how many times this has really happened to you.
Yeah.
Where there's just somebody that's just pissing you off, and you go, oh, if they just get out of the friggin' way. And then they finally do get out of the way, and like at the next stoplight or whatever, when you're sitting there, you see that person just slow as S.
What you're telling us in a very roundabout way is the story of the tortoise and the hare.
Yeah, well, no, I don't know. I don't know if there's a story. No, that they both, but they both, you end up in the same place.
Yeah, and that's why someone said that... when you're highway driving, if you're going like up to 80 and back down to 40, and then, you know, you shoot out to 80 again, if you just cruise along at like 60, 55, 60, you're going to get there just as fast.
That's right.
Well, and I've always thought that's a crock of crap.
Yeah, me too. I disagree even more. When you're trapped on one of those roads where the speed limit is 35 or 40 and you can't pass,
right,
and all you're thinking the whole time when someone's going 25 in front of you is, this is taking minutes off my trip.
Sure.
And this is the way we think. And then I for a while I was really stewing on this until I passed her up, and then I got caught up in my own world. And it's like 10 minutes later, I look up and I, wait, hold on, wait a minute.
She looked to her left and grinned at you through rotted teeth. In a satanic horror movie kind of way.
I'm positive she couldn't even see.
What if you're going home tonight and you see her again?
She may.
What if you walk in and you pull into your driveway and there she is at the bottom of the street?
Well, now you're getting into my letters to Penthouse section.
Oh, no, I was thinking horror.
Dear Penthouse. Well, no, mine is sexual. Ends up being horror.
Oh, God.
Dear Penthouse. That's no, great. I'm positive it was a corpse driving the car. But anyway, how many times that happened? You get behind somebody, you think, Jesus, if that red car would just get the F out of the way, and then finally they get out of the way, and you're driving along, and you think you got your foot all the way down on the gas, and you pull up to a stoplight, and they hey, and, you know, she's not saying anything to me. She didn't even see me, but I imagine that she's saying, oh, look, I drove slower than you, and I didn't do that crazy thing with my high beams, and now I'm in front of you, you know.
It's an illusion.
I know it is, Buzz.
Did you wish her ill?
And
did you wish her dead?
In some part of my soul, I'm sure I did. Yeah. It didn't come all the way through.
I think it's happening slowly, but in any area of the country where there are too many homes and not enough roads,
mm-hmm.
and people are stacked on top of people, you're going to see the collective consciousness. We're all going to lose our minds. We're all going to go insane. It's happening. It's happening slowly. And,
well, let's ask this.
You know, that road rage in California is going to pale in comparison.
Let's ask this man, a pretty solid citizen, what do you think, sir? Excuse me, King? God? God Gibbs?
There he is.
There he is. EastCoastBob.com has checked in. Here's his brand new prank phone call.
Esparto, California. Hello.
Larry King, my question is for Joe Allen. Joe Allen, from where you're sitting now, does it look like Larry paints his bald spot the Don and Mike show?
What?
A very intelligent question, sir. I know Don and Mike, and of course, one of them fell out of the crib as a child, as I remember when they were in Washington. I think the other one pushed him. I think they know each other since childhood, but I have no idea what he's talking about. A very good question, sir. It shows that you're really keen on things, and I'm glad you waited an hour to ask it. I have no idea what he's talking about.
Oh, that's great.
Anyway, shout out to Larry.
Hey, thanks, Larry. Good.
Pretty good F-up Larry show.
Larry still harbors that feeling for us, where he's, you know, I'm glad he cares enough to still mention us.
And EastCoastBob.com.
One of them fell out of the crib. The other one pushed him.
Thank you, East Coast Bob. Now, here's where I'm conflicted. I do want to take a moment. Robin, an emergency shout-out moment. An emergency shout-out.
Well, then let's do it.
Right here. For goodness sakes. Here we go. I forgot to tell you this today.
Forget it, man, and get with the countdown.
Right.
Shake this square world and blast off for Kicksville.
We got a couple of things coming up in the next few breaks.
Mm-hmm.
It just depends the order that we go with.
Mm-hmm.
We do have Joe Ardinger's
Trainables
DVD that we want to watch and have you guys listen to. The Educational Archives, a guided tour through the darkened classrooms of the past. And it's the Educational Archive, Sex and Drugs for Trainables.
Oh, God.
And it was circa, I think, 1958, 1959, 1960. Anyway, it's basically sex ed for tards. And we've got a copy of the...
I think we all feel that we're in some small way tards, so I think that'll be enlightening.
We got a copy of the tape.
We're trainable.
And then we can watch it in the next break. I mean, we'll watch it in the next break or in the following break, but... But, Mike, you know, how can you possibly avoid Rosie O'Donnell's gay cruise? The fact that Rosie O'Donnell is like hiring a cruise ship, and she's
going to be on the ship?
Yeah, she's going to be on the ship. I mean, we've got that and tons more.
We've got to get Cheryl on that ship. We got to get Cheryl on that ship.
To get to, I think we'll start with Joe. You know, his tape, his... sexual tape for the trainees. Joe, I think we'll go with your tape. Oh, hold on a second.
Telephone.
Joe?
Yeah.
Oh.
Who is that? The other phone ringing?
Hello.
What?
Why don't you pick them both up?
They are.
Okay, we heard two phones ringing for some reason.
Are you speaking into both phones now?
Yeah, just one.
Just one.
No, that's not true.
Place is falling apart.
No, just one. Joe's speaking into the other.
Oh, Charlie, pick up the phone, Charlie. Hang up the phone, Charlie,
okay.
Please.
Sure. This one?
Yes. Damn.
He's charming.
Joe?
Yes.
Okay.
There we go. We finally got that figured
Joe,
out.
Joe.
Thanks, Buzz.
You're welcome.
Charming Friday, Charlie.
Yes.
Having fun, Charlie.
Happy Friday, Charlie.
Yeah. Joe, the documentary that we're going to be viewing here in the Ardinger Studios, what can you tell us about this film before we watch it together?
Well, it's called The ABCs of Sex Ed for Trainables. And I'm having trouble keeping a straight face even saying it.
What year did it come out?
I don't know. I don't have copyright dates for these things, but it's obvious, like, mid-60s, late-60s.
Oh, so even later than I thought.
Yeah.
And, Joe, I understand that a lot of, not a lot of it, but there were a couple of cases on this, recently uncovered masterpiece. They talk dirty on this thing?
Yes.
Ooh.
Do the trainables talk dirty?
Yes, they are asked to name different names for the male sex organ.
Wow.
Well, we'll probably have
and
to...
And then hilarity ensues.
We'll have to hit the dump button on that. Let me ask Coach Gibbs, is there anything funny about a... What do they call them, trainables?
Yes.
Is there anything funny about a trainable trying to come up with a name for genitals? Coach Gibbs? King Gibbs? Joe?
Yes?
No.
Oh.
Talking to the other Joe. Joe.
All right, yeah,
Joe. Joe's our number one trainable.
More than one Joe. All right, we'll see you in a minute.
Very good.
All right, out. And then Rosie O'Donnell's gay cruise, and much more today.
We got to get somebody on that cruise.
It is a jam-packed show. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Daniel mentioned, Daniel and I have been working nonstop. Daniel, here's what I know about Daniel. Daniel come down, he's first time I got to really know Daniel was in, to see the way Daniel, Dan and I have been working, Daniel and all that. Time Daniel called me, went real quick. Daniel, obviously, Daniel and I got that from Mr. Cook. Yes, sir, Mr. Cook.
The Don and Mike Show. Please remember to wake them and feed them a cherry pie. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
How great is that Joe Gibbs tape?
Oh, man. That is fabulous. And you were mentioning thanks to John Norman for putting that together.
Yeah, he's the... spliced all of those together.
Great job.
You're like, what happened? You never got Gibbs really high? Hey, Joe. And what would be a show Joe Gibbs would think of? Give me a second. Something like, hey, Joe, guess what? Still Standing is on. Or no, I got a better one. Hey, Joe.
According to Jim.
King of Queens is on. So you get Joe Gibbs real high.
Hey, Joe, what do you think of this show so far?
See, look, it's a fat guy with a hot wife. How about that Leah, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's great.
I think he'd also like racing comedies like Cannonball Run and Stroker 8.
Sure, you just go to the DVDs.
Love Burt Reynolds.
Why not?
Let's welcome in Joe Ardinger. Oh, Robbie, need Joe's music. For goodness sakes, the place is falling apart today.
Heavens to Betsy.
Be a dear and put Joe's music in the box. And here he is now, the world's oldest phone screener, and the host of Ardinger's Masterpiece Theater. Now, Joe has stumbled upon a cornucopia of different like public service announcements and educational tapes.
As the hair gets longer and longer on
longer
young
and
Joe.
Longer. So what we're going to do is watch the sex ad for Trainables now and allow you to hear the audio along with us so that we can all share the experience together. Go ahead, let's start it. Rob, let's hit start and see what our menu is. And this is the music that indicates we're into...
Jill's not just a name, it's an idea.
The Joe Show.
The Joe Show.
Starring our man Joe.
It's the ABCs of sex ed for trainables, don't you know?
Wonderful.
And here we go. Here it comes. Let me pull up the volume on this.
Can we bring the lights down just a little bit in here, Rob?
After all, we're watching.
We're having a viewing.
It's movie time.
We're doing a viewing.
Here we go.
Time for a film.
Check the focus of your projector lens. This test pen should appear sharp and clear in the center as well as corners of the screen.
It's upside down.
Now adjust the volume control so that the sound can be heard in all parts of the room.
We got
the
classroom.
Immediately following this announcement, you will see a flash and hear a beep. These should happen at the same time.
Flash and beep. We'd rather not say.
If you heard the beep before you saw the flash, make the bottom loop longer.
Like
if you heard the beep,
it's like 8 millimeter.
You saw the flash.
It's fantastic.
Make the bottom loop shorter.
Yeah. 16, like the kind you used to wheel into your classroom.
Right. Yeah. Let's try it again.
What did I say? 8 millimeter. Yeah, 16 millimeter.
If you were born in the 1800s like us, and now it's down to one.
Your film is now ready to be shown.
Ah, thank God.
All right, the film is ready to be shown.
Well, thank you. And is the sound turned on?
Lens. This test pen should appear sharp and clear in the center.
Now it's repeating it.
As well
okay.
As of the screen.
Let's go right to...
I watched that for like 10 minutes. I was. I bet you did.
Now there's a whole lot on here. We have
LSD case study.
Human growth, narcotics, pit of despair, it's wonderful being a girl, barbiturates case study. Let's go on to the sex for the trainable. Marijuana.
Oh, boy.
LSD, heroin, amphetamines, social sex attitudes in adolescence.
And I like the LSD part. Insight or insanity.
That's a funny one. A girl goes and gets a hot dog and she imagines that the hot
Joe, don't tell us.
No, you spoil it.
You're gonna ruin a future episode.
We got plenty of material out of this thing.
Of Joe's Theater. Today we've selected the ABC of sex education for trainables. Now, Joe, please once again educate us. A trainable is?
A handicapped person, Don.
Trainable, but handicapped in what way?
I think trainable means that they're not so infirmed that they can't be trained to provide use in society.
Your own show's trainable is Tom Gavin.
Mm-hmm. Trainable. Okay.
Or you.
Perhaps.
Or you.
I've been trained.
Or really, as I said before, any of us.
Yeah.
Around here, a synonym for trainable is weekender.
Yeah. Let's roll it. Let's roll this now. Let's watch this 1960s film, The ABCs of Sex Education for Trainables.
Roll the film,
play
Joe.
Film.
Yeah, play film. Do it. Play it.
Well, it's 1975.
Ah.
Oh, there it is.
Great theme music.
This isn't... She's a pretty trainable.
She's got that kind of early 70s look.
She doesn't have the big, gigantic forehead.
I don't think she's a trainable.
Or any of the tips that would tell you you're...
Is she
have played the tard card.
Is she a trainable, Joe?
Yeah. Joe, you got to tell us. Is she?
Yes.
One guy's calling her over to the car.
So here, now the girl's walking over to the car. He's obviously, we're not hearing dialogue, we're just seeing
right.
A sleazy guy pull
he's
up to
touching
this,
her hair.
A sleazy guy pulling up to this girl in this movie circa 1975. He's leaning out of his car, stroking her hair. And now is she going to make the move?
Yes, the ABC of sex education for trainables.
She's getting in this
getting
car.
In the car. Oh,
this would be what not to do.
She's getting in the car.
And if you could believe it, there are a slew of credits, including a music credit.
Now, is that a policeman that's walking this man away?
Yeah.
I hope so.
Like he did something bad.
Right.
Well. We've seen a director, producer, script.
Original music, The Lake Springs.
Mm-hmm. And this is done in association with Hallmark.
Very good.
When you care enough to send the very best.
So now we're just watching video of
sex education for trainables. Is it possible?
Is it?
Or is it even necessary?
Oh, yeah.
Well, let's start with the last question first. Why necessary?
Why?
Well, we must teach those with serious disabilities that hinder their learning to live as successfully as possible with other people. Now, this includes their sexual behavior. Rather than teach, which is somewhat difficult, it becomes a training situation with as much explanation as they can absorb.
Oh,
and is it possible? Well, through training, they will realize who they are as men.
And you should see this dude.
This guy.
This dude just walked right off the set of the Rockford Files.
Education for the trainables should be made as simple as ABC.
Yes,
A, awareness of their bodies and their feelings. B, understanding the simple mechanics of reproduction. And C, training in responsibilities and appropriate social behavior.
And it's just a giant close-up of this guy's face.
An amazing close-up. I mean, a close-up that takes up the whole screen.
Just of his face.
As much as they can.
Here we go.
Now, the ideal situation is a one-to-one basis. But if this is not possible, the group should be kept very small and include only those who will pay attention. Those
look
who
how small the group is. There's about 50 of them.
50 people.
How they themselves feel about sex.
Oh, my God. It is a group of 50 tards.
Penis. Say penis.
Penis.
Don't make them.
Oh, dear.
Peter.
God. She's writing down.
She's writing down all the other words for the male organ.
Yeah. Meat. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna just turn this down now, so it doesn't get deleted out.
It's got the C word, the D word,
wand.
Wiener.
Wiener.
Terminology is difficult for many people,
yes, it is.
Because
tool.
Guilt and embarrassment from our heritage.
Join.
God. All right, now some of these we.
Oh, I wish
on.
We could.
Some we can hear. Hold on.
Me. Ding dong. Wand. Wiener. Tool. Joy.
Must be able to use these words without becoming upset, or they will not be able to communicate with their students. Now, let us watch a teacher in an actual session. Leading the discussion concerning the differences between boy and girl.
Oh, God.
Okay, we talked about some of the differences now between men and women.
So it's a woman sitting around with a bunch with some
trainables, hard, okay. Yeah.
Now let's just look at the bodies. We're going to talk about the other things.
And there now she's showing a cartoon, pictures of a man and a woman.
Now, what about up here? Are they the same?
She's pointing it to the breasts.
No. Okay. Nancy, do you know what a woman has up here? What are these called? Do you know a word? Do you know a word for those? Any word? Anybody?
Breath.
Very good.
Very good.
Breath.
We're well on our way.
That's right.
Yes. Everybody knows one of those two words? Yes. Do you think that's a nice thing for women to have?
Yes.
Are you happy that you have breath?
Yes.
I am.
Yes.
Huh?
I call them with that.
You think that's a nice thing for women to have?
Right.
Okay. What does the man have that the woman doesn't have?
Come on.
Penis. Very good. Penis.
There it is.
Everyone
again.
Know that word?
Yes.
Penis. What do you think? Do you think that's a good thing for a man to have? To have a penis?
I think
the technique used is drawing out rather than pumping in.
Oh, God.
The teacher refers to boy or girl as being something very special.
How great is this?
The body parts and functions.
It's got all the words.
Nothing yet.
I am dying.
If only I had seen this film.
Answer a question directly.
Now, here's a teacher with one guy, a male teacher, and one male student.
Uh-oh. You asked a question about it, and I found some pictures that might help explain what happens. This is the male penis here, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
The Michael
now,
Jackson
do you know what can happen? The same man with the penis getting hard.
So now they've got a wow. Of it in its previous state.
Of a guy with a boner and then a guy with a non-boner. And then look, and the guy, and they're drawing pictures. They're sketches.
Just like the pictures before.
And they go to sleep at night.
Yeah.
Stop. Picks up it, go in the toilet, then it goes down.
Very good. You know, inside the male penis, there are a lot of little blood vessels in there, inside, and these kind of swell up.
I like how he's nodding his head as if he truly understands.
Everybody goes through that. You know, looking at them, you could look at these two and say, which one's retarded?
Which one's the trainable?
Which one is, you know, the tard?
Sandy. We're going to talk again about the parts of your body.
Okay? And the fact that a girl has three holes between her legs.
Yeah.
Three. How many things?
Three.
Lorraine. Okay,
this woman has
look
a,
at this picture.
As you can see,
okay?
A pen and ink drawing
see that?
Of
this
female
here
sexual parts.
Is the hole where you make
there are three holes,
pen.
Don. Yeah, Don, were you confused by that?
Yeah.
You know, you, maybe you should be in the trainable
but
video.
But now I've seen the picture, I'm fine.
Urinate. Yes. Ralph
and Gene. I forgot about that part.
Urinate.
She's menstruate, too.
No, that's another hole, and we'll talk about that. Because there's three holes here.
Three holes.
Can you show me what I showed you?
Yeah.
It's
between six and...
She's pointing to the
that's
various
the various holes there.
This is the hole
you seem to be far away from that diagram, though.
This
like
is
ski
the hole
ball.
You make a BM from.
Yeah. Yeah, there it is. Your favorite...
Oh, you make a
problem.
Lesson is being understood. And then, a few days or a week later,
hey, there
review
it is.
The exercise to check on the progress.
Count three.
Okay, let's as a first step in understanding reproduction,
here's the scary
we
man.
Need to prepare trainables for the emotional and physical changes in their bodies. Children need this information before they reach puberty. Adolescents and adults who have never had this training need this knowledge as a foundation.
Trainables.
For instance, a girl with a serious learning handicap who has been introduced to the experience of menstruation will be able to accept her first period without trauma.
This is what happens to me. It will happen
oh,
to you.
Oh, this is great.
It's all right. Part of
look at what she's
woman.
Holding.
Is she holding what I think she's holding?
She's holding a used tampon.
Oh, my.
Period. She will not be frightened.
That was Joe Gibbs that was laughing, incidentally. Not us.
Movies
you.
In color.
It's all right.
Yeah, it's a color film.
Part of being a woman.
Even the trainable doesn't want any part of that used
I know.
Tampon.
You blame her?
It's like, honey, what are you doing? Now she's wrapping up the old tampon.
Say that she's getting ready to throw it away. Oh, don't hand it to her.
She's making her take the old tampon.
She's going to unwrap
she's
it.
She's unwrapping it.
Unwrapping it again.
Out the steps through the method of pantomime.
And
enables
she hands
the girl
to
know whom to tell and how to care for herself. When
take
her
my nice bloody tampon.
Oh, dear.
Tell you, it's not going to help her skin.
How come you haven't gotten up yet?
I'm wet and sticky.
Oh. When did that happen? Did it happen during the night? Or does it just happen now? Well, you know, how old are you now? You must be about,
I guess his age of 28, 29. Kind of looks like John Belushi. This particular trainable.
The counselor shows a calm, accepting
the counselor
approach.
Scares me.
Who is just no scolding or recrimination. The boy is not frightened, and there is no reason for him to feel guilty.
Richard Frank, I'm sure you understand now just what happened, and that this is probably going to happen quite a few times more.
Oh, no.
It will happen while he's been talking to the doctor.
I think the best thing we can do now is to show you how to clean it up. Okay?
God. He's pulling down the blanket.
Dear.
Now we come to a very important section.
They all seem
one
to talk like this.
One dreads, or is embarrassed by, or tries to avoid completely.
What is it?
The simple mechanics of reproduction, or sex, or screwing, or whatever you want to call it.
You know, we're going to have
whatever
to pause. We're going to have to pause this for a moment.
Sure. I'm going to go make popcorn.
Robbie, pause at the Joe Show.
Wow.
Has brought us an incredible piece of it. You don't. What's great about this is you don't have to watch it to
no.
love it. But
no, not at all. You can hear the people talking or screwing,
or whatever you want to call it.
Or whatever you want to call it.
You hear it well,
sicko.
I say that we finished watching this one at another time, and then there's like 10 more of these films.
Oh, that's great.
Our Trainable and Back, you just figured out how to pause it.
It's a gold mine.
It is absolutely a gold mine of material.
Look at his face. The guy that's hosting it are screwing.
Joe. And we want to thank our Trainable, Joe Ardinger. Thank you, Joe.
Sure.
Thank you. Join us again. You know what the hell? I'm going to pencil this in for Monday.
Yeah great
Drop
idea.
This in on Monday's episode when we hear the second part of Sex Edge for Trainables.
And don't forget all the other stuff that's on there, too.
The LSD.
Heroin.
Pot. Weed was on there.
Right. Barbiturates.
Barbiturates.
I just something about... You know, LSD, enlightenment, or insanity?
And don't forget, I enjoy being a girl.
There you go. That's going to be a good one.
Joe?
By the way, one of the marijuana segments is, it's a rather long film, it's kind of boring, but it's narrated by the late Sonny Bono.
There you Joe. Go.
All right, there you go. Every once in a while, my man Joe, that's why I keep him around.
Good job.
Generally, he screws everything up, but every once in a while...
He pulls something like that.
See, like, he just gives me a call and says, hey, I got some films, man, that I think we might want to watch on the show.
That was a good call.
Yep. Good call, Joe.
Joe's not just a name, it's an idea.
All right, well, that's
or
Joe.
Screw it.
When we come back, I want to talk about this this rosy thing. What is this? A penis? Let's get that cleaned up. And then that guy goes to the blanket.
Yeah.
Listen, we'll take your calls here, but be advised... And I got some other stuff to talk about, too. So let's fit a phone scan in.
Very good.
Phone number 877-365-3636. That's the national number from Canada. You call 800-636-1067 in Washington, D.C. 202-432-1067. Yes, the distinctive music. It means only one day. It's time for the rotating random phone scan. But just keep in mind that you know you have to fight your way on the phone scan today because I'm going to lead with this Rosie O'Donnell gay cruise thing. And then, Mike, here's one of the stories I wanted to bring up, and I might as well now before we get to the phone scan and the other stuff. Frankly, we have, turn that music off, please. Thank you. It's phone scan music. Thank you. We've been wondering today about, you know, I can't talk with the...
With that guy, we got to turn the TV off.
Turn it, we have it. There you go. It was paused on the doctor's face. Mike... How can we go on today? Frankly, we're out of material, and I'll tell you why.
Why is that, Don?
As you know, I don't come up with anything on my own for this show. I steal everything for this show. I'm not funny. I'm not entertaining. I'm good at watching television shows and taping them and transcribing them and then coming on the radio. And
you've done that again?
And I've done it for many years, but the source of the material for the last 2 years on this show is gone, and frankly, I am like a pauper with an empty bag now. Mike... The Wayne Brady Show,
oh no,
which has earned 2 Daytime Emmy Awards, has been canceled.
Oh, no!
And
God, you know, no!
It's time to come clean.
No,
for the last
no,
2 years,
no.
Every day, I've just been ripping off Wayne Brady. Every day,
man.
I watch Wayne Brady.
Wayne Brady, or as you like to call him, the real WB.
Yeah, right. So anyway, how could we possibly go on?
I don't know.
Without that crutch of having the great Wayne Brady material.
I may be going home.
All right, let that start the phone scan. We'll be right back, everybody.
This is the Don and Mike Show. From Sparto, California. Hello.
Larry King, my question is for Joe Allen. Joe Allen, from where you're sitting now, does it look like Larry paints his bald spot the Don and Mike Show?
What?
What?
A very intelligent question, sir. I know Don and Mike, and of course, one of them fell out of the crib as a child, as I remember when they were in Washington. I think the other one pushed them. I think they know each other since childhood, but I have no idea what he's talking about. But a very good question, sir. It shows that you're really keen on things, and I'm glad you waited an hour to ask it. I don't know what he's talking about.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe.
So crazy someplace else. We're all stocked up here.
Hold it, Phyllis. That don't move me.
Let's get real going for a change.
Right.
It's the Don and Mike Show.
All right, your calls on the rotating random phone scan, so please get on the line to get on the air.
All right.
Right now at 877-365-3636. Rosie O'Donnell has done it. Ladies and gentlemen in between.
Has her ship sailed, Don?
Coming soon. Rosie's Love Boat. Here's a statement from Rosie O'Donnell. She's starting a cruise just for gay and lesbians.
She's come a long way, baby.
Yeah. Fun, and gay fertility lectures.
Yeah.
We welcome all families, however you define them, to join us on this cruise, said Rosie, which will sail in July from New York.
So this cruise is not exclusively limited to gay families?
They're hoping to lure 2,000 gay and lesbian parents and their relatives.
But not necessarily all gay and lesbian.
I don't think. I think it's like an education thing.
Right.
Rosie and her husband, Kelly O'Donnell, will take their...
Kelly O'Donnell.
The wife. We'll take their...
Kelly O'Donnell, the news correspondent?
No, not that girl. The girl for NBC.
Yeah.
But that's her name. Rosie's life partner has taken...
Her name?
Yes, her name
Kelly
is...
Kelly O'Donnell. What a wonderful Irish name that is.
She will take their four kids... On Norwegian Cruise Lines, week-long voyage to Florida and the Bahamas. It's a gay cruise with family values. That's what Kelly O'Donnell said. You don't have to compromise your lifestyle to go on a vacation.
So Rosie's going to be on the boat.
Exactly.
I mean, does she mention, or is she just organizing the cruise?
No, she's going to be on the cruise.
She's going to be on the big red boat.
On the cruise. Now, let's see, you pay $1,000, that's your get-in price. $1,000 per person for the cruise.
That's a pretty good deal.
Now, if you want the nice cabin, that'll cost, the best cabin,
yeah.
$15,000.
$15,000, wow.
$1,000. The O'Donnells... And I love to refer to now as the O'Donnell.
Yeah, they'll have the nicest cabin, right?
Call them the O'Donnells.
Mm-hmm.
I love that. Not O'Donnells, the O'Donnells. Anyway, they are the latest entrepreneurs to angle for a slice of the gay travel market. And, Mike, we had our opportunity oh so many years ago when we blew it. Do you remember that time where we went to Los Angeles?
Right.
We were coming out of the airport. We're looking at all of the billboards.
Yeah.
And there was a billboard. This was...
We could have gotten on the ground floor of this gay cruising thing.
10 years ago.
Sunset Boulevard in West Hollywood, California.
For a gay cruise line. We stopped the car.
Sure.
And just about fell out laughing. But look now.
Weren't we sorry?
Who's laughing now?
Okay. So apparently this gay cruising or gay travel market is exploding.
It's historic. And, of course, people are mad. Some group called the Family Policy Network doesn't like this because they're allowing gays and lesbians to bring the children into this environment.
Mm-hmm.
The children are in this environment anyway. Let them get some sun. But it's Rosie O'Donnell... On a cruise.
Well, she's not doing this out of the goodness of her heart, right?
Oh, no, this is a money-making venture.
It's a profit-making enterprise.
Sure. Now, she's hiding it under the fact that people are going to learn, how to tolerate, blah, 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 but still...
That's a little hinky to me if she's making a profit on that.
And it's the first celebrity-themed gay cruise.
Uh-huh. Now, can you just be gay, or do you have to be gay with kids?
Or do you have to be gay and have pretended not to be gay for many years on network television?
Yeah, pretend you like Tom Cruise.
And then only at the very end, when your show's falling apart, do you come out and admit that you're gay?
Interesting.
I don't know. But anyway, funny picture of her getting on the boat.
She's on the boat. When does the ship sail?
It sailed in July.
July, she's already on the boat.
Who's on the hotline? Hello? This was the hotline ringing.
Speak to us.
Stopped everything.
I hear nothing. I hear nothing, even a hum.
Well,
the phone's turned on.
Yeah, they are. Hello?
Yeah?
There doesn't seem to be any sound at all.
Okay. Let's go to our regular phones. I'm sorry about that. The big light went off that indicated there was an important call. And
the big Oompa Loompa light.
There was nothing there. Hello there, Don and Mike Show. A phone scan. You're on the air. Hi.
Don and Mike?
Right, hi.
Hey. So, I always work and I never get a chance to call you, but I have to tell you, your best of show, I had many panties that had to go to the dry cleaners.
Well... Now, honey, I don't think you're
going to... Boy, you are a hot... What on the best stuff got you going, ma'am?
Yeah.
Oh, the smack contest?
Whew. Oh, like, the spanking.
Oh, yeah. Seriously. Like, I didn't think I really liked the spanking factor, but oof.
You know, it sounds like you're all hot and bothered right now.
Just thinking about this.
Have you been a bad girl?
I have been. A bad girl.
Go ahead, Buzz. I'll give you 30 seconds to get her laid. Go. Go, Buzz. You're on the clock, Buzz. Get in her pants. Go.
How bad have you been?
Oh, yeah. I've been.
No, you can say you've been playing or...
Okay,
pleasuring.
I've been diddling just thinking about a lesbian version of the Jenna Jameson version or video.
You mean an interactive lesbian video?
Uh-huh.
You're from where? From Utah?
Salt Lake and City.
No, she must be... She's all hot.
So you got to be like the hottest thing there, right?
It sounds like she's a lesbian, so Buzz is kind of wasting his time here.
Yeah. Who's the celeb that you think you most resemble?
None. I'm original.
Now, come on, honey. Are you pretty? Are you a lipstick lesbian?
Charlize Theron as she appears in Monster?
I'm close to Tori Amos, but... More.
That means hygiene problems.
Tori Amos. No, it doesn't.
Yeah, I look at Tori Amos. Man, I smell her through the TV. You know that there's a problem there, and that has nothing to do with sexuality. It's just like I thought with Alanis Morissette and still do.
I don't know what you say, Tori Amos.
She's like my goddess. I could never even have sexual thoughts about her.
Would you go on a gay cruise?
Would I get a discount for going next to Rosie O'Donnell?
Yeah, now, would you... Let me ask you, please.
Are you attracted to Rosie?
Am I attracted to men?
Yeah, okay. All right, very good.
Would you for an amount of money... let me ask you this. For $1,000, would you... If Rosie O'Donnell was a cookie, would you eat her?
No.
And let me ask you another question. For, you know, The lesbian, it wouldn't even have to be a lesbian. Oh, if you could be with any woman, famous woman, what woman would you like to be with the most?
Okay, naughty bad thoughts or sick and wrong thoughts?
Well, either one.
How about both?
Okay, the sick and wrong thoughts?
Yeah.
The chick on Touched by an Angel, because it's just the corruption factor.
You mean the British chick?
Oh, you are a bad girl.
The Roma Downey.
Roma Downey.
Okay. Yuck.
All right, now what about the other category?
Keep going.
I don't know. I'm just too...
Well, I think Roma Downey is it, isn't it?
Roma Downey. Honey, you might... You know, I don't know.
I like Roma Downey.
I wouldn't...
You know what?
I think it's
the idea of corrupting something, quote-unquote, so pure.
I don't think she's so pure. I think that she's
no, but she represents something so
but
pure.
Roma Downey doesn't do it for you?
No.
Boy, she's a hottie.
Not in the least. All right, well,
little Irish hottie.
More feasting for all of you.
You know, there's a lot of other good-looking women on Touched by an Angel. There's Valerie Bertinelli and Della Reese.
Della Reese, baby.
She shot me in my pinky toe.
I do Valerie Bertinelli before I do that other broad, Roma Downey.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Valerie Bertinelli.
You can have Valerie and I can have Roma.
I do both.
Separate room.
Yeah.
Well, if you had to.
I mean, the choice between the two? Who would you do? Roma Downey.
Wow, that's surprising. Buzz.
Definitely Roma Downey.
All right, call back sometime. It's always good hearing from you, Lenny.
I'm not sure. I haven't seen Bertinelli recently.
It's Radio the corruption God. Factor.
Yeah, and you got Eddie. Eddie's been there.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello. And, yeah, Eddie's been a lot of places.
Yeah.
See, it's not only that she's been with Eddie.
Yeah, you've been with everybody that Eddie's been with.
Oh, dear. Yeah, but same with Roma Downey. I mean, I've seen her in the tabloids.
She's pure as a driven snow.
Hello, Don and Mike.
She's been with her brother, Robert.
Roger.
Radio gods, what's going on?
Hey, you're on the air. Phone scan. Hi.
Oh, this is great.
Pardon me?
I said, this is great. I love that little video you guys did.
Thank you. Wait, just wait.
Reminded me of my sex education teacher in junior high school when she stood next to me and I could smell that she was on her period.
Oh, God, that's a little, you know, isn't that like Hannibal Lecter kind of stuff?
Thank you for checking it.
I don't know. Did you have sex ed? Did you have sex ed when you went to school?
Yes, we did.
I don't remember mine.
We had a film.
It was
a black and white film.
Boys Hygiene.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
That's exactly what it was called.
Well, that's what we might have had. I don't remember a class.
Oh, hold on. And, you know, I have stories every day that I want to get to. This is a good segue about hygiene. It's about Liza Minnelli and David Guest again. Let me see. David Guest showed up in court, as it turned out. We found out yesterday he was hiding out with Jim Nabor.
Right.
As it turns out, he showed up in court.
Wow.
Liza Minnelli.
I'm here. Did he make one of those Will and Grace entrances?
Liza Minnelli was wearing a black ensemble with a pink wool muffler and matching gloves.
Yeah, that's typical Liza.
Now, let me see. Here's the part about, they have more fights with each other, which brings me to the stink issue. Liza Minnelli claimed in court, along with all of their other problems, that David Guest sold her piano on eBay.
The nerve.
David Guest says she has a problem with odor.
Oh my God.
And she stinks.
Maybe that's a medical condition.
God.
No, that's what he's alleging, is that it's a medical condition.
Yeah.
But he says she stinks. She's not clean.
Ew.
Hold on a second. Let me see. Guest is suing. Blah 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 blah. They agree on something. Not well enough to fly because of the migraine headaches. Yes, and she has a problem with odor.
Oh God.
That is how David Guest described it. A problem.
Man, oh man.
A problem with odor.
The new Liza perfume.
Hello there, Don and Mike show. Hello. Hello, phone scam, hello.
Don.
And Mike, hi.
Hey, you know what you guys should do with that Joe Gibbs laugh track? You gotta turn it into a Tickle Me Gibbs bobblehead.
Did you spend the night thinking about that?
No. I just kept listening to it, and it reminds me of Tickle Me Elmo.
Okay, thanks. Hi, Don and Mike show, hello.
Hi, Don, hi, Mike, hi, Buzz.
Howdy.
Hey, greetings from cold Green Bay. It's really exciting here, 48 hours of Packers football. Hey, Don, unfortunately, we couldn't see the video that we were listening to. Did you see the credits on that?
I went on that Joe tape? No, I didn't. Why?
Oh, well, because the narrator kind of eerily sounds like a young Mike Elston. You better check that.
Well, you know, Buzz does have that kind of old narration quality to his voice.
The narrator's last name was Dix.
Dix.
I saw that.
I used that name.
Don and Price Show.
Or screwing.
Hello.
Hello.
Phone scan, hi.
Or whatever you want to call it.
Hello there.
Hello.
You're on the air.
Hey, I haven't listened to you guys for about 6 months now. Last time I heard you guys, you were doing Icelandic.
We had gone to Iceland to do the show, yes, and?
Yeah, Buzz. Buzz's voice. I haven't been able to listen to you guys for 6 months, but all I've thought about is Buzz's sexy voice.
All right, thank you, faggot. See you on the cruise.
thank you, sir.
Phone scan, and that's it. We're out of time.
That's it.
We got to talk to a very powerful woman. We'll take one more call. Hello, Don and Mike.
Hi, how you guys doing?
Hey, we're doing great. What's your name?
My name's Jerry.
Jerry, listen, you're a winner. What are you calling about, Jerry?
I'm calling about David Guest. I heard a little-known fact about him this morning.
Okay.
I heard he doesn't have many friends, but he's got neighbors up the ass.
Oh, God.
We've heard that.
Such an old joke.
So many times. No prize.
You are the sunshine of my life.
How does he mean that?
No prize for you. Got a break here because of, women and their schedules.
Yeah, it's a very busy CBS woman.
Nancy James, and we come right back.
Is the Don and Mike Show.
God damn it, Eddie, it's not to me. Hey, it's my shoulder. I hit my shoulder when I hit the gym floor.
It feels like it's full of gravel.
Well, it's always felt like it was full of gravel. Now, come on, give me a B12 shot. That's what I want. Why are you messing with my knee?
Hey, how you doing, baby?
All right, Dale, you gonna get a shot?
Oh, no shots for me, Turkey. I can't stand needles.
Hey, you gotta master the technology of this game.
Hey, how do you do that, man? Take all those pills and shots, man. It does terrible things to your body.
You last long enough, you'll realize the only way to survive is the pills and the shots.
Not me, Turkey. I got respect for my body.
You'll get past that.
The Don and Mike Show.
I'm going to dance. We're going to dance. We're going to dance.
and have some fun.
If you put a knick-knack on their whatnot, they'll give you a what for. Don and Mike.
Right. Jim Nancy will be here in a second. He's on the phone now. He's supposed to Liza Minnelli, I told you that David Guest said she stinks.
Right. Ooh, that smell!
The court report says that Liza Minnelli, during their entire marriage, was not, quote, not clean enough for David.
Well, that was the problem.
And every time that she would come near him, he would have to hold her off because she smelled offensive.
Oh, my God. Didn't smell like a man.
That's pretty nasty.
Terror alert has gone down. It's down to elevated, which confused me. We have decided to take the terror alert down
to elevated.
Down to elevated.
That's a little confusing, doesn't it?
Hold on, I'll ask Jim Nancy. He's on the. Hey, Nancy.
Hey guys, happy New Year.
There she is, Nancy James. Everybody, host of the wildly successful CBS NFL Today.
Happy New Year, Jim.
Thank you, guys. Good to be back with you. I'm concerned about that Liza Minnelli report.
Very good. Where are you calling from? Are you in a bunker somewhere, Jim?
I'm sorry. I'm in a car being driven into New York.
Oh, you're in the Apple. You ever get a chance to meet Liza, Jim?
No, I haven't. I haven't had a chance.
Jim, listen, before we get to football, I'll ask you this. I've got a list here of the Hollywood hollest looks, the people that we most want to look like. Who do you think is the body that most men want to have out of all Hollywood stars? And I'll give you a clue. He's as dumb as a box of rocks. As dumb as a box of rocks.
Hmm. It's what male movie star we want to look like the most.
Yep, his body. Not his face, his body.
Heck, I have no idea. You know, Brad...
I'm lost.
Vin Diesel.
Vin Diesel, okay.
Vin Diesel.
Okay, I was going to say Brad Pitt. All right.
Well, would you? How about for women?
The body?
Specifically, TNA.
Okay.
Specifically, TNA.
All right.
It's Britney Spears.
Oh, come on.
No, I don't buy that.
Skin? Mm-hmm. Skin, it's Paris Hilton. Eyes, it's Catherine Zeta-Jones.
I was hoping Catherine Zeta-Jones would be on there.
Lips, it's Angelina Jolie.
Mm-hmm.
And Hollywood's best nose, female, Nicole Kidman, and male, Ben Affleck.
Ben Affleck, great nose.
He's beautiful. Jim, you're a lovely man, and I think that you are the most adorable NFL announcer, the most adorable.
He should have been on that list.
Master of ceremonies.
He will be.
For your NFL show.
You have that anywhere in a magazine?
It's not in the magazine. I'll tell you this, though, Nancy. Now, you weren't on every week with us during the season. I think we averaged every other week. And I'm sad to tell you, Mike, that...
I brought up the rear.
That we lost again to Jim Nance and to his charity over the year.
At least you gave him a run for his money. I was a distant third.
Jim Nance got 28 games right out of the games we picked. I got 26, and you got 24. And so that means Jim Nance, even though we are all over 500.
Man.
Congratulations, you've won our money again for your three amigos.
You did it again, Jim. What do you have to say for yourself?
Is there a trophy involved, too? Is it?
Is it not enough that we're going to send money to your charity? And listen, speaking
of... That's my favorite gesture of all.
The Three Amigos charity, you can click on the icon we have on the Don and Mike page on WJFK.com. I was watching your NFL show, and Deion Sanders and Boomer Esiason handily beat you in the picks department this year.
In the regular season competition, not the postseason, is a whole new game.
Oh, so you're starting afresh with the postseason. That's the angle you're going to play this year, huh?
Well, no, we did it last year. I mean, I handily, you know, really, last year I had it clinched in the regular season by Thanksgiving, and then I walked away with the postseason title also. So,
well, this year...
That's being consistent there, guys.
This year they killed you, and I saw Deion was holding this gigantic 6-foot-tall trophy, and then Boomer Esiason had one, and Jim was sitting over in the corner saying, well, don't forget, we're restarting in the playoffs. Don't forget, we're restarting in the playoffs.
There you go.
So, Jim, you want to restart with us?
I'd be happy to, guys. Yeah.
The playoffs, same deal. We'll still play for charity.
Very good.
And we'll send our checks to the Three Amigos Foundation. We're glad to do that every year. Jim, what was I reading? Something about, you know, you never say anything on this show about anybody. And it was a couple of weeks ago, maybe during the holiday season, that Rudy Martsky got you pinned down on something. It was, you actually said something bad about somebody else in broadcasting, not specifically, but maybe it was one of those times when, you know, the Fox PR guy says something like, we had some story, and then the CBS...
I know what you're talking about. I think it had to do with when Keyshawn went into the Fox studio.
Oh, yes. Oh,
there you go.
Okay, so you're...
you know, again, widely misquoted by guys who can't quite get it right, you know, unless you transcribe it for them.
Right.
And I don't think it was Rudy who wrote that. It was some other guys. But
oh, really? Okay. Maybe.
What happened was, you know, Keyshawn got let go by the Bucks on a Tuesday, and by Thursday, Fox was hiring him and even promising perhaps, you know, a pretty steady gig the rest of the season in their studio. Within 48 hours, he gets dumped on by the Bucks, and because he's one of his teammates called him, a cancer-like influence on the team. And then Fox goes and gives him a choice television job. I said on the air that the guys at Fox are, in some cases, very dear friends of mine, and that's true. Some of my closest friends in the world, forget the business, are over at Fox. And a lot of them are my former colleagues.
But...
And moreover, if it wasn't for Fox, I would bet that CBS would have done the same thing. But I said, what a wrong message it is to let Keyshawn basically get fired by a team in the middle of the season because he's such a bad influence. And then he turns around and gets a choice television job. What does that say to the guys like...
So let me see. Let me see if I've got your point. What your point is that, you know, that's just your opinion as far as the way that it was handled at Fox. You also say it wouldn't surprise you if CBS had done the exact same thing. And you're saying you would disagree with anybody that would do that, right?
I do. I just think that, you know, there had to be like a cooling off period. But, I mean, for instantly, if almost 48 hours, for somebody to go and hire Keyshawn, and hey, I'm, you know, I think there was some attempts in our place, too.
But Jim, you guys would have taken Keyshawn if you could have.
I said that on the air.
Hey, Jim, listen to me. Are you listening to me, Jim? I just want to kiss you.
Oh, God.
I just want to kiss you.
Are you asking for a comment about Joe Willie Namath?
No, I'm just saying something that I've wanted to say for years.
I think you're leading into the Joe Namath thing.
I've wanted to kiss you. I don't care about Chad Pennington. I don't care how the Joe...
Then that's okay. Then I'm going to ask him specifically for a comment on the Joe Namath situation.
I just want to kiss you, Jim.
What do you think about that whole thing with Joe Namath there, Jim?
Well, I watched it live, and I was not paying that much attention to it. But when you go back and look at it, and you know, I know Joe, and I know how embarrassed he is about that whole thing. But for anybody to suggest that ESPN dumped out of that interview quickly, I mean, that is spin control.
No, listen, and I was telling these guys, I watched it also live, Jim, and the monologue between Susie Colbert and Joe Namath continued into the next play. You know,
actually, they sent it back upstairs for the guys to call that play, and then brought it back downstairs again.
Right. Yeah, normally you
know, I think of all the guys that are Hall of Fame football players, and really, I think of all the guys that he maybe gets a little pass on that moment, and I know I'm sure he's embarrassed by it, but it's Joe Namath. I mean, it's Broadway Joe. It's the Lady Killer Broadway Joe.
Right.
I give him a free pass. And how old, Jim? How old would Joe Namath be right now?
Well, let's see. He came out in the early 60s, plus 40, he's early 60s.
He's in his early 60s.
And, you know,
hallelujah, he had a little fun, why not?
If you, like me, if you saw it, you had to laugh, because he actually leaned in like he was going to plant one on her, because he's Joe Namath.
Yeah, and because he's Joe Namath, Jim, I think that's why this thing kind of went away very quickly, unlike some of the other moments in sports where somebody misbehaves a little bit.
Well, first off, he wasn't employed by, like, a network where he would have instantly been fired.
Right.
You know, let's face it, there, you know, what else could you do? They roasted him for a couple of days, and then maybe some people decided to let up on him because it was Joe Willie. But, you know, there wasn't more fallout, like if you're trying to compare this to other guys who've fallen on their own sword. you know.
Well, you know, you always don't get dumped by a network when that happens. I mean, Howard Cosell proved that years ago. We have the tape of that too.
Yeah, but he never told us. He never told. Well, there weren't any girls on TV then.
No. Do you think the drinking?
The most amazing part of that whole thing was when they came back to him, and this was right before he made this statement about I want to kiss you. Actually, kind of rocked back and looked at her backside, kind of checking her out.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah, he did.
That's when he said, "I want to kiss you."
Jim Nance.
No, he just can't do that.
Football expert, football savant. Now I know you're on a bad cell. I'm gonna play something down the phone. Identify this NFL great. Who is laughing? See if you can identify this laugh. Now, I'll tell you, that's not one laugh. That's about 10 laughs spliced together.
We edited them all together. Can you tell us who that is, Jim Nance?
Well, it's two people.
Nope.
Nope.
It's not?
No, it's only one.
Who do you think it is?
Well, it sounded like Susie Colbert was in there.
No.
It did, didn't it?
You know who that is? That's Joe Gibbs. We spliced together during his press conference every time Joe Gibbs laughed.
That is Joe Gibbs laughing yesterday at the press conference. We loved his laugh so much that we edited all of them together, and that's exactly who that is.
Now, Jim, you should steal this bit for your TV show. And here's another great bit you should steal for your TV show. You know how Jack Kent Cook was always referred to by Joe Gibbs as Mr. Cook?
Right.
Well, we noticed that yesterday he called Dan Snyder...
Daniel.
Either Dan or Daniel.
Most often Daniel.
And this would be good on your show, too. We took all the time... Listen, here's from the press conference. Every time he referred to Snyder by his first name.
Daniel mentioned, Daniel and I have been working nonstop. Daniel... Here's what I know about Daniel. Daniel come down. He's first time I got to really know Daniel was in to see the way Daniel, Dan and I have been working, Daniel and all that. The time Daniel called me, it went real quick. Daniel, obviously, Daniel and I got that from Mr. Cook. Yes, sir, Mr. Cook.
And even there.
And a little of the laugh there at the end. Too.
Even there.
The Elton John song, I Can See Daniel Wade.
Yeah, absolutely.
We were singing it yesterday. So, Jim, we were trying to tell people who listen to us across the country what a big deal this is in D.C., how even in the newspapers, they're writing, you know, the king has returned.
Yeah, and answering the call, you know, almost giving it religious significance.
You're going to be on tomorrow and Sunday, right?
We're going to talk about it a whole lot, but, you know, hey, why is he calling him Daniel? Daniel is about 30 years his junior.
Yep.
And when he was coaching the Redskins, Mr. Cook was about 50 years his senior. So it makes sense to me. I tell you, Joe Gibbs, everybody loves him. He's a class act. And there's so many neat things that kind of come out of this. And one is that old Cowboy-Redskin rivalry, which is as big as it gets in any sport, is certainly renewed now that you've got Parcells and Gibbs. And there's a fascinating stretch of football coming up out of the NFC East.
And now, Jimmy, no pressure, but tomorrow night you're on prime time, right?
Oh, my. Are we live?
tomorrow night, Jimmy's going to be live. And listen to this. You remember last year when you had the Raiders game up at Foxborough with a snowstorm?
Two years ago.
What's the temperature tomorrow night in Boston, Jim?
It's going to be somewhere hovering around zero, maybe even a few degrees below, and the wind chill will be, you know, minus 10 to minus 20 degrees.
Wow. That's playoff football, man.
I think this is wrong. I'll tell you that right now. I think this is a total miscalculation. There used to be days where the NFL would do anything it could when it came to matching up the playoff schedule to put the cold weather sites in the early slot.
Right.
And, of course, 2 years ago, Oakland, New England provided these magical, enchanting pictures. The snow framed against the darkened sky. it was like Hollywood stuff. And they fell in love with that look. And last year, it got reinforced with Atlanta at Green Bay in a wild card primetime game on a Saturday night. Again, it snowed. And everybody thought, oh, this is pretty cool. This one tomorrow is cross the line.
Yeah, so you're really serious about that.
You're funny. You're all up
serious. You're asking your fans You know, you're asking, who knows how many people show up, but you're asking 70,000.
Jim, I guarantee there'll be 70,000 people there tomorrow. They don't care how cold it is.
Well, when 400 of them go to a local hospital suffering from frost, they will.
Man.
God.
Well, you warned them.
What about Lambeau Field in those days?
You know what? The only game you could ever compare it to would be the classic...
The Ice Bowl.
Frozen Tundra game, as it was called by John Facenda of NFL Films.
So, Jim, if you had your way...
400 people.
Now, keeping in mind that having it on at nighttime is a good move for our company, CBS, you would still move the game earlier because it's going to be too cold?
Not for the players. Let me just emphasize, for the patrons of the NFL, you're going to be asking them to get there, you know, what, total from car to game, back to the car experience, somewhere between 4 or 5 hours.
Yeah.
You know, when Green Bay had that game against Dallas 37 years ago, it was in the daylight. And I know it was still the same temperature, but it was a sunshine day out there.
I hope you don't say this on your TV show tomorrow, because you're going to sound like an idiot if you say this. We should not play this game because it's too cold for the people who are watching.
This is way past the line of sensibility.
You're funny. You're funny. That's why you're the man. Oh, and Jim, you know, Westwood One is sending us to the Super Bowl in your hometown, Houston. So I've already warned
all the people of Houston.
I sure hope that, that Friday before that you make your way down to our broadcast site.
I am serious, by the way. We'll get together in Houston. I am serious about this issue about playing a game at nighttime when it's 10 degrees below zero. You watch, the NFL will get a tremendous amount of criticism about this one.
Really? So you really think that people... from the Weather Channel? Who's gonna complain because it's cold?
Well, I think it's a safety issue. I think it's hazardous to a lot of people.
So you really think that there are going to be some people that get exposure at this game?
There's no question about it.
All right. Okay. Wow. We'll watch and see what happens.
You watch. There'll be some fallout from it. And this is the reason right here why, in my mind, New York and Washington recently getting a lot of momentum about consideration for a Super Bowl down the line. It's absurd. It should never happen.
It's absurd. All right, Jimmy. Let's pick these playoff games tomorrow, because I know you got.
Do I give you guys all my best stuff?
I love it. I know you do, but you do. Well, let's face it. You don't have the balls to say this tomorrow night when you're on CBS, on the CBS network. You're not going to say, hey, I don't think we should play this game tonight because it's too cold for the fans. I dare you.
You jumped to that. I never said it shouldn't play the game. I said they've made a scheduling mistake.
I dare you.
They could have put, because we knew going in, we were going to have Kansas City, Indianapolis, and New England and Tennessee.
Right.
We went ahead and locked in, you know, New England late Saturday at the host site, Kansas City early on Sunday. I don't know. I just think that, hey, you know, and I'm not calling for them to cancel the game opponent or anything, but this is past, you know, there's a line you cross at some point where truly it becomes it becomes an issue, and I think tomorrow night they're going to cross that
line. It's a health issue.
Will you wear fake fur to protest?
by the way, next week, if New England wins tomorrow, you know, we take our AFC Championship game show on the road.
Now, what's going to happen up there with your delicate condition if it's cold next week and you got to do the show live outside from the stadium, right?
We're out there, my man. We'll be there.
Wow. All right, Jimmy, here are the picks. Let's do this, and we'll play for charity again in the playoffs for the Super Bowl. Four games. Let's get to it. Let's get Jim to whatever rally it is he's going to.
My charity will be the New England Patriots Frostbite Fan Fund.
Very good.
First game would be Carolina at St. Louis. I'll take the Rams at home. Mike.
I am going to go with Carolina.
Jimmy.
All right, Mike. Good job. I'll take the Rams. And I like the Rams by double digits.
Tennessee at New England. Jim Nantz says, America, this game should not be played.
I did not say that. Still, I'm taking Tennessee.
It'll be played, and I'll take New England. Mike.
I'm taking New England also.
Jim.
I'm taking Tennessee, baby.
Wow. Now why? Give me a reason.
I get a lot of reasons. First off, I love the New England team, and you know, they've won a lot of games. They're very mentally tough. But this is a Tennessee team that certainly won't back down to anyone. A lot of experience when it comes to playoff time. one step last year from playing in the Super Bowl. They made it to the AFC title game. Same core group that 4 years ago made it to the Super Bowl. They got a lot of playoff experience. They got over a huge hurdle last with beating the Ravens team that had their number on the road, I might add. And I think Tennessee, I just think Tennessee's a little bit of a better team right now.
All right, let's see. The other CBS game, Indianapolis at Kansas City. I don't see any way that the Colts win at Kansas City. I'll take the Chiefs. Mike?
Kansas City all the way.
Jimmy?
I see a lot of ways Indianapolis wins. In fact, I'll take the Colts here.
No!
And finally, Green Bay at Philly. The Packers, Mike.
This is the dream scenario, and I think everybody that likes emotion in sports has got to go with the Green Bay Packers.
What about you,
Nancy?
I'm
going with Green Bay.
I love the story. It would be, for our purposes, since we have the Super Bowl, if we could get the Favre magic to keep going, it would be one of the best storylines we could hope for, but I'll take Philly.
Okay. I'll take Philly. All right. Well, he's wrong about what he's wrong about. He's right about what he's right about. Nancy, Dave, Jim Nance will be on CBS tomorrow and Sunday with the NFL Today on CBS.
Yeah. I think fall off the game. Give me Dr. Quinn Medicine Woman.
All right. We'll watch you tomorrow night. Hey, Jim, I tell you what, for your charity, $1,000. I dare you to say tomorrow night while you're on national TV before the game that the NFL should have thought about rescheduling it at a warmer time.
That's not what I said. They can't reschedule. You can't. Listen, coaches, one thing we know about coaches, they are so anal when it comes to organization. Their whole week is mapped out.
Just say
right up to that minute of that game time. You cannot change the start time. I'm just saying this idea that they got comfortable with of playing games in cold weather sites late, which they never did for years, fell in love with it 2 years ago because of the beautiful...
Say it on TV. Say it on TV, and I swear to God, I'll cut a check to your charity for $1,000. Say it tomorrow night on TV.
I just think it's finally going to jump up, and it's going to bite them.
Say it on TV. I dare you. I'll give money to your charity. Because you know, here's
you
the thing.
Want to say it.
You know you can say stupid stuff because you're just on our stupid show.
The problem is on the other show, I don't ever get the time to say anything stupid.
Okay.
Oh, yes, you do. All right, Jimmy.
End up into Georgetown. Oops.
Sorry, that's the traffic. We'll talk to you soon, Jimmy.
All right, guys. All the best. We'll talk next week.
Thanks,
all right,
Jim.
All right, we'll see you then. There is Nancy James from us.
Wow. Even from a speeding limousine,
yeah.
He is always fantastic.
And he didn't get to his other point that I know he wanted to make, is, you know, the Super Bowl is always in a warm climate, is the fans getting dehydrated.
Yeah, well, that stroke. Was... Rob, that was just you and me, and it was because of the night before.
She is funny.
Yes, she is.
She is funny.
Terrific.
Watch her tomorrow.
There are going to be 400 people in hospitals.
That's the one I remember. God love him. God love that guy. No, because they're going to be drunk.
Don, they're going to be 400 people dying of exposure. This man's nose turned black and fell off.
I'd like to see who shows up. Yeah, 70,000 people will show up for
some of the worst frostbite I've ever seen out here at the stadium.
Quick break. Thank you, Jim Nance. His TV show's on tomorrow night on Sunday on CBS.
You know, it's a fantastic game, but I'm telling you, those people up in Section 103 can't feel their toes.
He feels so strongly, he'll say it on our show.
Yeah.
Not a chance on television. Not even want to offer money to his charity.
Oh, really? It's like, put the hand out. Bite it, Jim.
Be right back, everybody.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
There's a whole lot of people that want to draw the comparison between one of the all-time great Jet quarterbacks, Joe Namath, and Chad Pennington. What impresses you about Chad?
I believe everything that anyone else has watched Chad play impresses me. The same thing impresses them. He's a quality, classy quarterback that has a touch on the football. He's not a thrower, he's a passer. His mind is ahead of what the defense is, and if the Jets can support him, they will win the championship.
Joe, it's been a tough season for Jet fans. What does it mean to you now when the team is struggling?
I want to kiss you. I couldn't care less about the team struggling. What we know is we can improve. Chad missed. Chad Pennington, our quarterback, missed the first part of the season, and we struggled. We're looking to next season. We're looking to make a noise now, and want to kiss you.
Thanks, Joe.
Okay. Yeah.
Huge
compliment.
You know what? Joe Namath,
part of the
four decades
team. We'll see if he doesn't have time.
All right. Thank you, Susie.
Joe's
just a happy guy.
Didn't he?
He's
just a happy guy.
Oh, boy, is he happy.
Nothing matters but the weekend. From a Tuesday point of view.
Not just lowbrow. They're no-brow. Don and Mike.
Yeah, that's the other part of it that I had to tell you. That so I was watching that live, that meaningless game, Saturday night game, two or three weeks ago, where Joe Namath said that to Susie Colbert.
Right.
So they come back to the booth, and Mike Patrick and Joe Theismann, who might be listening to the show today.
Was Joe saying he's a happy guy?
Yeah. Joe said...
Was that the one who was... Joe was the one saying he's a happy guy.
He's happy. And then Mike Patrick said he's very happy.
Right.
And then, as I like to call him, the big turd, Paul McGuire, who I just can't stand on that broadcast. You know, I mean, he's not in the same century as those guys. He doesn't get what's happening. He's mad because as the game continues, Theismann keeps saying, yeah, he sure was happy. And then at one point, the old man in Paul McGuire comes out and goes, is that what we're calling it now? Happy? Is that what we're saying?
Oh, dear.
He was happy when it was obvious. Listen, Joe Namath was drunk. You know.
Well, he had a moment, and
that's how you say it.
A guy like that would worry about frostbite.
So
Paul got upset, huh?
Yeah, he did. Just let me tell you, coming up, we've been working real hard to really in 2004. Now, I know we've only done 4.5 shows,
mm-hmm.
but we've tried harder in the last 4 days than we tried in the last 4 years.
We've tried desperately to entertain you.
Now, who knows how long we're going to be able to keep this streak of excellence going.
Rob says two more shows.
You think two more?
Two more. Yeah,
you think two more?
Definitely through Tuesday.
Well, I do know that on Monday, I'll just tell you one thing I know for, or two things I know for sure.
Uh-huh.
We'll be watching more of Joe's 1975 tape about retarded people and sex education.
Good.
And we'll have an interview with a woman who regularly massages Regis Philbin's buttocks.
Fantastic.
That's on Monday's episode. Now, the Friday favorite. Here we go. Me so ready for this one. Let me just say, controversy, thy name is...
Good eye, mate.
Steve
Irwin. It's right to see you. How are you, mate? It's another great day. What a ripper. How are you, Don, Mike, Baz? Oh, you guys, are you ready to talk about Crocs? It's the crocodile hunter right here.
Now, Steve, you've gotten all kinds
of... fantastic.
All kinds of bad press with your baby Robert.
Oh, I want to talk about that, mate.
Okay.
As a matter of fact, I got a big surprise for you. Take a look what I have in my satchel. Let me untie it. Hold on a second.
There he is.
There's the little lad right there.
Oh, look how happy he is.
Baby Robert, isn't he great?
Is he in a bag?
Oh, it's my baby. He's a chip off the old block, mate. He's a real ripper. Isn't he cute? He looks like me. Let me hold his head up like that. Look, note the way I'm holding him. Just like a lion holds a cub. Yeah, he might put a little pressure on his esophagus, but he's a tough little ripper. He sure is.
Now
there he is. Come here and give your daddy a kiss. Oh, you're a good little kid.
He's fine with all the animals?
Oh, I got lots of stuff. I brought stuff in, much like that pussy, Jack Hanna. I brought all sorts of things. Look what I'm going to do for you right now.
Oh.
I'm going to take baby Robert. He loves snakes. I'm going to sit him right down in front of this snake. Take a look at that. It's a king cobra. That's it, baby Robert. Don't move too suddenly. It'll put that venom right between your eyes.
Well, now he's
crying. Fantastic. Oh, he seems to be upset. All right, let me put this snake back in the bag. I hope everybody's going to still watch the crocodile hunter, what with your wussy Americans and all your child labor laws. This is fantastic. I've got a...
Oh, no.
All the animals are in here right now. I've got a bunch of shows planned, mate. Baby Robert and I are going to swim across the Amazon River. And I hope the piranha don't smell the baby food on his little fingers. Or else we'll be goners, mate. Isn't he cute, though? You like the little ripper there?
Yeah, he's very good. Now, he seems very happy.
And one show, we got all sorts of shows. I'm going to tell you about these shows. They're so exciting. Let me tell you about it. Oh, get that animal out of here. We don't need cows.
change his toes.
Mankind. Hey, mind Baby Robert's leg over there, mate. Baby Robert's going to step on him. That's right. It's a cow. Let me tell you about the great shows. They're all going to be featuring Baby Robert on the Crocodile Hunter, mate. It's a real ripper. It's going to be exciting. There's going to be one show where Baby Robert, little Bob's going to be covered in tarantulas. That's right. Oh, but he's a brave little ripper, and they're not a bit upset when he drools on them. It's a cute little lad. You like the outfit that I put him in? Khaki shorts and khaki shirt.
Wow.
That's my little tyke. Isn't he adorable,
now,
mate?
Now, look, he
What's
does...
What's everybody so upset about in the United States?
He does seem happy. Look,
I don't understand that.
He's laughing.
Now, on show number four this season, I'm going to let Baby Robert ride on the back of a giant anaconda. That's right. All the way back down to the Amazon. Hold on tight, my little hero. Because if you get into those cold... Those ugly coils, your history. Who brought the donkey in? It's a bloody donkey. It's a real ripper. I made Robert's pants out of steak.
And now the baby seems to be crying again.
Ah, he's fine, but he'll be happy. I've got something for him to play with. You know what he likes?
What?
He loves scorpions. That's right. More than Legos, mate. And he's developed an immunity to their venom after being stung several times.
Wow.
Yeah, we were a bit worried about Bob when he swelled up like a beach ball. But now he'd rather play with scorpions than his rattle. And speaking of rattles... The only rattles that Baby Bob likes are the ones that are attached to snakes. That's right, back at home, he hops into his crib and sleeps with an Eastern Diamondback. That's right, the nanny sure doesn't come into that room too early, mate. He loves snakes. That's right, he loves all the animals. I've exposed Baby Robert to all the animals in the forest, mate. It's a lot of fun. I don't mind telling you.
Sure to seem to be crying a lot, though.
You know, we don't worry about that, mate. He's a brave little ripper, just like me. I'll take Baby Robert into a giant snake pit and set him in front of a cobra and do all sorts of fun things. He loves snakes.
What is that?
That's a strange... Oh, you know what that is?
What?
That's the Eastern Hound Dog from the United States. Mind your P's and Q's, Baby Robert. Why don't you come right under my sticky armpit right now? Just like I held you when I was feeding those giant crocodiles. But it's great to be back in the United States, because me and Baby Robert are doing a press tour together. And he... Down you go. Down you go. That's right. You know, most wild dogs like this one, they like the taste of baby flesh. So it's rich flavor. Now, ow. Oh, that one. Ah, look at that. Crikey.
Oh, he bit your finger.
It clean off. That's another pinky. That's all right, mate. I'll sew it back on it. Mind the baby now. Watch out for the baby, Robert. Animals love Robert. Because I bathe him in gravy. That's right. Each and every day. That's right. It's either turkey or beef gravy. It's a gravy bath for Baby Robert. Because it calms the animals down. And it gives him a real sense of the danger that he's going to be facing when he goes up to be a man.
Please look at the baby for a second. Look, he's not happy with all the animals here.
He's a little upset, but he's a brave little ripper.
Come on.
I think his cries and sobs are indicating that he loves animals as much as his daddy Steve.
Well, let's see. Is he going to straighten out yet? No.
Yeah, there you go, Baby Robert. No, he still seems to be upset. Let's put something else in front of him and see what happens. Now, these are very dangerous chickadee birds. Look at these chickadee birds, Baby Robert. Now, mind your eyes. Close them tight so they don't peck those baby blues out of your head. Baby Robert's got to get used to every animal in the forest in the kingdom and find out how they're wonderful. That's it. Now, look, this bird. He lighted right on top of Robert's little soft spot. That's right. I sure hope he doesn't take those talons and dig too deeply. He'll go right into Robert's baby brain.
He's packing right into those.
Oh, we better get that bird off there.
What a good idea.
That's all right. That's okay. We don't want you to be featured in Sex Ed for Trainables. That baby Robert's a cute little ripper, isn't he?
That's a good boy.
You know, you can call him Junior Croc Hunter, because that's exactly what he's going to be doing. I don't mind that. That's a little faggot dog. You don't have to worry about that, Baby Robert. Watch what I'm going to do right now. We're going to bring Robert in front of a very dangerous creature.
Oh, no.
That's right. It's the American panther, or cougar, or mountain lion, as you like to call it. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to slowly and carefully take this gentle pork chop, and I'm going to tie it around Robert's neck.
And now, then set him down in front of this cougar.
He seems to be happy, but...
You go, that's it. Now stay very still. Now open up the cage with the cougar in it. Okay.
Mind you,
that was a close one.
It seemed that cougar wanted the pork chop a little more than wanted baby rabbit.
So I keep him safe in my office.
Oh, dear. Who let the giant animals in?
That's a male African lion. That's going to leave a mark. I believe I just lost my baby toe,
but not my baby Robert.
He's securely snug under my arm here. He's a great little kid. I love America, but it took a long time to get this. Oh, dear, what the hell is that? It sounds like somebody set up my wind-up alarm clock. Oh, is it a rattler?
It's an Eastern Diamondback rattler.
Baby Robert, watch out. Those snake's fangs are bigger than your legs.
Nancy, no need to worry, baby Robert. We're going to have ice cream later on. And speaking of ice cream, I'm going to dip Robert in a vat of melted ice cream right now and put him in front of this little beast.
Let's see what happens. There you go.
Okay, he likes it. He's licking it off his tummy.
There you go. There we go. Oh, the birds don't like ice cream. They're flying around me head. It's always a challenge when we bring baby Robert out. Lots of fun right now. You know, he seems to be happy. Oh, he loves birds. Oh, another one. Another one flew on top of his head. Oh, now look at this. Minus.
He's pecking.
That's not good. Let me get that bird off his head.
You better.
Let me take the feathers out of you.
No, the bird.
Oh, he's a real ripper. He's just doing that out of a sign of love. Pecking away at the soft spot. Baby Robert doesn't seem to mind it a bit. What a brave... Oh, I guess he does. What a brave little lad he is.
No, he's fine.
It's fantastic. Oh, man. First, I'll dress him in red and shake him like a little scarf at a raging bull. There you go. You want to go? How about the running of the bulls, baby?
Whoa!
That's nasty. Look at him. He's beautiful. That's a giant...
Something.
What the F is it?
I don't know, but it's a giant.
I think it's a giant camel.
Baby Robert.
Oh, bird. I've got the ice pick in my hand. My God, what are you confusing me or something?
Oh, who let the elephant in?
Baby. Watch the way the baby elephant avoids Robert's head.
Careful.
Oh, dear.
That was a close one, mate.
Listen, I'd love to stay for days, but unfortunately, I'm losing blood out of my right finger where the snake bit it before. I tell you, I'm starting to get confused, mate.
Isn't baby Robert a cutie?
You like his little outfit, mate?
Now, look at him. He appears fine.
That's right.
He did that little thing, that little baby.
Yeah, he's okay.
Oh, dear, uncle. There you go.
Yeah.
Everything's great.
You're such a great kid. I tell you, I'm excited about the cock-cuddle episodes coming up.
Why do you see him in that pit with a giant cobra hissing at him? He's a brave one.
I love him. I could kiss him. I could kiss him 1,000 times.
Oh, dear. This one doesn't like baby Robert. This is one of the...
You're looking at me like
these
I know
the
what...
animals that don't like baby Robert. I'll tell you right now, I don't know what the hell that is.
He's looking at me like I have any idea what these sound effects are.
It's something. It's a bull. It's a Spanish bull.
Beware the...
Don't worry, baby Robert. I've done plenty of bullfights in my day. I'm going to sit you right up on top of this giant bull, and we're going to see if you can ride him around the ring.
No, all right, now hold on. Wait till the baby calms down.
All right, calm down. Now sit right on top of the bull. See how you like it?
I don't know.
Boy, that's... Let me catch him. Oh, this is a close one.
He almost fell onto the concrete floor, baby Robert.
What a lovely little tyke this is. Yes, he's a good tyke.
Watch out for the wild boar. Those fangs could impale the babies. That's dangerous.
That's a dangerous creature. And they don't have a sense of babies like we do.
You know, all these animals want to eat your baby or peck your baby.
They do, but I can protect him because he's sitting snugly right under my arm.
That's right.
It's feeding time, too. We got to get all the animals in here because it's time for a big feeding, and I'm going to force this piece of fish into baby Robert's baby hand.
And we're going to see which animals we can feed.
First of all, let's feed the bull. There we go, baby Robert. How's that fine? Oh, that's great, you little ripper.
They love to be fed by hand, especially a little baby hand.
See what animal comes up next.
I'm going to give him a piece of steak. All right, now, that's it. Don't be scared. Just drop the steak into the lion's mouth.
There you go.
That's good. He got a little upset with that one, feeling that big lion's hot breath on his tiny little baby hands.
Oh, you want to try one more?
All right. I'm going to give Robert a pork chop right now.
uncooked, of course. Let's see what comes out of the cage then. It seems to be a donkey. It's a moose. It's a giant Maine moose. We don't know. Look at that. That's a beauty. He doesn't seem to want the pork chop. He wants Robert. You can't have Bob. He's my baby. There you go. Oh, that watch out. That's a giant king cobra. Look at him hiss. Hear that hissing?
Or is it a rattle?
That snake is going to bite your kid.
It's a rattlesnake. No, he's not.
Gosh, I'm going to hypnotize this snake by moving Robert back and forth.
Now, what?
Part of his hip vision.
Oh, no,
it's all right. Was it an Eastern Diamondback rattler?
I don't know.
That's right. He's immune to the venom. It doesn't matter. He's gotten bitten by the little baby snakes. I trained this kid just like me own.
All right,
that's right. He is me own.
All right, one more animal. Let's see what else we have here. What's it?
Beware, Robert. I'm not experienced. Oh, no. He's backing away, the American giant rooster. That's nasty. Get the rooster. Get the bloody rooster away from my kid.
Get him away from... I need some Band-Aids.
I don't kill animals, but I'd sure like to kill that rooster trying to peck out Robert's eyes like that. That's bad stuff. Oh, he's upset. Oh, now you've torn them both down. Everybody seems to be okay.
Is everybody all right now?
Doing just fine, mate.
All right.
It's time to put baby Robert back in my satchel. That's right. He's got a little water and he gets plenty of air in.
So you leave him in your bag?
He's in my bag.
Oh, you zip him up like in that old-fashioned doctor's bag.
He's got plenty of air, mate. And it's the easiest way to travel. I just pop him into the overhead.
It's now, fantastic.
Oh, that's...
Even though the baby's gone, the animals...
They're all in here. Don't you like these animals? Look, it's a giant commison. Look at the size of that flying up overhead. It's a beautiful bird. I love birds, snakes, reptiles, mammals, anything made on the crocodile. Especially that Spanish bull that I finally was successfully able to identify. What are you? It's an American house cat. Beware, mate. Ah, those things are dangerous. I don't keep baby Robert around an American house cat, but he's fine around the elephant. Hello, you little rippers. Come on, gather around. Oh, and it's a horsey time.
Pony ride.
Oh, baby Robert. I got to get baby Robert back out of the satchel again. Yes, he's such a wonderful little baby. I enjoy this.
I'm going to like
to like all these animals.
Oh.
Well, he better get trying this, mate. Oh, no, chicken! Bloody chicken!
I'm proud of him here.
My God, it's tough! Swear to God, baby Robert's getting used to all the animals at one time. It's a chimpanzee! Go on, mate. Having some fun now. Oh, the kitty cat's purring right next to the chimp, but the baby's still crying. I tell you, what a great way to work up a sweat, mate.
Hello.
It's a Ken Stevens.
Oh.
Beware, mate. Get away from me, you dog. I'll kick you with my desert boots.
They all gotta go.
Back in the cages. Oh, everybody out. Come on.
All right.
Woo. All right, Steve.
I hope you tune in for the Crocodile Hunter. It'll be lots of fun.
We will.
We'll play Low Budget Jeopardy. We have a champion. We need a challenger.
Well, then I'll put the baby back in the trunk of the limo.
Phone number is 877-365-3636.
I hate your low temperatures around here.
That's the number.
Get the pool out of here. Put him in the back, mate.
We'll be right
back. This is the Don and Mike Show.
Now, Nicole, remember, this is a live show. Watch the bad language.
Okay. God.
It feels so good to be standing here tonight. Yeah, instead of standing in mud and... Why do they even call it the simple life? Have you ever tried to get cow shit out of a Prada purse? It's not so f***ing simple.
I tell you, I just cannot believe the things that come out of this lady's mouth.
The Don and Mike Show. Mildly cross-eyed, Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Yeah, all right, let's see. We do this. Special Steve Irwin.
Right. I like this. Why is that bull still in it? You boys better we beware, he's dangerous. Goody-two-shoes. Look at the size of his thing. I just touched it, mate.
Uh-oh.
He seems to really like it. I think he's trainable.
Let's play, here we go. Here's the music.
for Low Budget, Jeff Hardy, and here now is the Crocodile Hunter.
This is Low Budget Jeopardy. Now entering the studio is our challenger. This is an investment banker from Baltimore, mate. Let's say hi to the lovely Kristen Coppedge.
Hello, Kristen.
Hello.
Hi, honey. Are you a nice little Coppedge?
I think so.
And now entering the studio is our champion. His two-day winning total is $51, all American. An engineering manager from Alexandria. Let's say hi to John Haring.
Hey, John.
Hey, Elkiff.
Hey, John.
Watch out, Mike. They're all over here.
John, being our returning low-budget Jeopardy champion, can you tell us how it changed your life?
Well, you remember how last time I told you I got the operation to become a woman?
Yes.
Well, let's just say that I'm really wet down there right now.
Man. What a lovely image that is, Mike.
Let's really say that.
John's wet down there. And now we're in the studio's the house to Low Budget Jeopardy. Now, Kristen and John, don't screw without you. Say hi to Alex Trebek Geronimo.
Thank you very much, Steve, and...
Look out. I just got stung by the donkey.
What the hell is this?
What? No.
I have no idea. I'm having trouble identifying that.
It's an elk, Steve.
It's an elk. It got stung by the elk.
I'll see you at their club.
Oh, that's right. Let me see if I can milk it. Oh, there we go. Bob's your uncle.
See you at the Elks Club.
Would you like some fresh milk?
John, Kristen, here are your categories. They are, what's that C? What's his number?
I like that.
We'll always have Paris.
My hand's swelling.
Rock and roll ads, true or false?
I love rock and roll. Put another dime in a jukebox, baby. Oh, that feels good now, doesn't it? Look, my hand's all the way up to my elbow.
And Dateline.
Again.
So here's what we have. What's that C? What's his number? We'll always have Paris. Rock and roll ads, true or false, and Dateline. Kristen, you're a girl. We do like girls better than boys. We'll start with you.
Well, thank you, LQ. Rock and roll.
All right, true or false. You know, every ad's got rock and roll music. Now, so true or false. Cadillac and Led Zeppelin.
True.
That was not in the form of a question.
All right, Johnny Boy, it's your chance to steal.
What is true?
There you go. Everybody's heard like rock and roll, right?
Oh, man.
That same animal again.
I seem to have my hand stuck in a certain place. It's mighty compromising. If this animal makes any sudden move, I'll lose my arm from the elbow down.
John, go again, please.
Go with rock and roll, true, false for two.
All right, The Who and Foot Locker.
What is false?
That's right, that's a made-up one.
$2 for you, Johnny.
Let's go with rock and roll for three.
Creedence Clearwater Revival and Wrangler.
What is false?
Kristen, your chance to steal.
What is true?
There you go.
$3. We got a tie. Yay, baby. We're having some fun there.
Oh, come on, Catherine. What the hell is this one?
Yeah, it's a tiny little pig. It's a lovely little pig. Let me see if I can massage it. Oh. This is a special prostate massage for the pig.
Oh, no.
Here we go. Now, calm yourself down. Yeah, there you go. Oh. He's all calm right now.
Oh, no, it's a she.
Oh, she.
That's little Kathy Whiteside.
Isn't she lovely? She's a real ripper, mate.
Little Kathy,
calm down.
John,
you got any paper towels?
Use your shirt.
All right, there we go. All right, Kristen's in control. Oh, don't you look at me like that. What a beauty you are. I love you.
Kristen.
Kiss me.
Is it Kristen?
Yes.
Yeah, Kristen, go again, please.
Dateline for one.
Okay, give you a choice of 3 years here. Either 1995, 1996, or 1997. Okay?
Okay.
So you got to choose the year. Alanis Morissette released Jagged Little Pill.
What is 1996?
Yeah, that's right. Very good.
It's wow. $1 for you, Kristen. You know your music. Select again, maybe.
Dateline for two.
Here you go. Hootie and the Blowfish. They released Crack Rear View.
What is 1995?
She's a smart girl.
$2 she is. She's got a thinking cap on, mate. And I've got a bunch of tiny little lambs all around me. Look, I've just sprinkled honey all over me thighs. Come on, me little creatures. Lick it off. Lick it off as fast as you can. Oh, not too close to the bobs.
There we go. Select again, Kristen.
Try Dateline for three.
Spice by the Spice Girls.
What is 1996?
Johnny, it's your chance to steal.
What is 1997?
There you go. Good job, Johnny.
$3 for you. You've tied the game. It's a horse race. This is fantastic, and those are beautiful animals. Go again, Johnny.
Let's go with What's That Sea for one.
What's That Sea? Oh, okay. And it's not what you think.
Mm-hmm.
I'll give you some initials that start with the letter C. For instance, Johnny, for one, CSI.
What is Crime Scene Investigation?
Righto.
$1 for you, Johnny. Select again.
What's That C for two?
CIA.
What is Central Intelligence Agency?
Right again.
Excellent job. You're really taking a bull by the balls now there, Johnny.
Let's close that category.
CBS.
What is Columbia Broadcasting Station?
No. Now, you screwed up. At the last second, it's a chance for Kristen to slide right on in and see if she can come back.
What is Central Broadcasting System?
Oh, you blew that one.
What?
Look at that. I wish I could let you see this dolphin. What a beautiful fish it is. That's right. I got a sardine for you, beauty.
Columbia Broadcasting System.
And Johnny, you're in control.
CBS.
Select again.
Let's go with what's his number for one?
All right, now listen, you should get this. You're a man. These are all football players and their numbers. Guys who are still playing this weekend. Peyton Manning.
What is 10?
Fag.
Chris, your chance to steal. I wouldn't have known it either.
Fag.
Sorry, mate. Kristen, can you steal?
What is...
Honey, you just had to guess. 18. He's number 18.
Johnny, you're still in control.
Let's go with what's his number for two.
Steve McNair.
What is 8?
Oh, Kristen, your chance to steal.
What is 12?
Now.
Your girl, number 9, Steve McNair.
Come on, everybody knows that. Johnny.
You didn't know that?
Now.
Let's go with his number for 3.
Isaac Bruce.
What is 80?
Non-fag.
Wow. $3 for you, Johnny. Hold on a second.
Hold
it's feeding time. I got to get my slop bucket out. Look at this beauty. I say, you're gorgeous. Yes, you are. What a giant hog. It's a giant American hog. There we go. look at that.
This one's named Kathy Whiteside, too.
I got goo all over me shorts. I got a little goo.
Wet and sticky. Yeah.
But I'm trainable. All right. You're in control, Johnny.
Let's go with Always on Paris for one.
Oh, we'll always have Paris.
Paris. There's not enough animals in Paris.
Paris Hilton's bra size.
What is 34B?
That's correct.
$1 for you, Johnny. Select again.
Let's go with, we'll always have Paris for two.
Oh, this is the last category on the board, you know. A Paris Hilton's dress size.
What is 4?
Fag.
$2 for you there, Johnny. He's gotten more of that than any condition ever. All right, select again, mate.
Let's go. Close that category.
Paris Hilton's IQ.
What is 90?
I'm guessing, but I say no. That's not the answer. This is
Kristen,
not
your chance to steal.
Scientifically researched.
What is 100?
No, I'm sorry. I say she's 75 because that's what Forrest Gump was.
Forrest Gump, a great movie, mate. Run, Forrest, run.
Oh, listen, Steve, that's the end of...
What a great game it was. Oh, catch this one by the tail as she runs by. Come back here. I've got a cheeseburger for you.
That's the end of the first round of Low Budget Jeopardy. And who's got what?
All right, he finishes up. It's quite a match that we've got going on here. John Herring finishes with $15, while Kristen, the new investment firm runner person... Baltimore finishes with $6, mate. That's a whole herd of horses. Look at that. Hey, stop in for a cup of tea, mate.
All right, guys. Here is a final low-budget Jeopardy. Your chance to win. We physically force you to bet it all. Good luck. Your category is All Hail Joe Gibbs.
Joe Gibbs. Look at these. That donkey sure likes Joe Gibbs. Isn't it great to have a Super Bowl champion, coach? Back to the Redskins. That's right. And the elk likes him, too. Let me grab those lovely fluffy horns right there, mate. Come on now. Can I tickle you? Let me tickle you down there. Oh, yeah. She loves it.
All hail Joe Joe Gibbs. Here you go, guys. Answer in the form of a question. During his first tenure as Washington Redskins coach, this was the only team to beat the Redskins in a Super Bowl. During his first tenure as Redskins coach, this was the only team to beat the Joe Gibbs Redskins in the Super Bowl. Guys, don't forget answering in the form of question and good luck.
All contestants on Low Budget Jeopardy will receive the Steve Irwin Baby Book. Chock-a-block full of advice on how to toughen up your little baby. My baby book has everything from a brand new parent, everything you need, from first aid tips and how to save a detached limb, to where to find the proper anti-venom and free your baby of nasty parasites. It's a must-have if you love your lad as much as I love my little Bobby. And now back to Final Level to Jeopardy with Alex Trebek Geronimo.
Oh, thank you very much.
It's game time now on JK. Cash for you and me.
Horses. We're out of the ranch, mate.
It's on the left now.
Lots of that. Lots of those horses.
You're killing me.
We have the horse CD in now. Come on, boys.
That's all we
it's
got.
It's a roundup. That's right. Yippee-yi-yo-ki-yay. They're mighty dangerous, those American horses.
Yeah, we
they look like little ponies.
We want to go.
Hey, like the pony Mike's buying his daughter.
Isn't he a great dad? Yeah. It's a parrot. Hello, little parrot. Hey, come on now. How about my eye? Pick it out. Come on now. Pick it out. Give it a try. Watch this. I won't even
pinch.
I can't see out of it anymore, mate.
We want
entity. Ted's got here.
We go to Kristen first.
She's low person. That's right. She's only got $6.
Kristen, in his first tenure as Redskins coach, this was the only team to beat the Washington Redskins in the Super Bowl.
The Bills?
Not in the form of a question.
What? And that knocks you down to zero. I'm sorry, Kristen.
And not right. Johnny, if you got the answer, you're the big wiener.
Who are the Raiders?
Yeah.
That's right, John. You double your score to $30, mate. You are still the low-budget Jeopardy champion.
You know, I'm here thinking, I could bust his balls. Was it Los Angeles? Was it Oakland?
That makes me stomach purr. That's right. That sound is coming from my stomach, Steve Irwin. Look at that.
It speeds up if I rub it faster.
Kristen, parting is such sweet sorrow. Adieu, adieu. John, don't go away, Matt. Just go away. What is this one?
It's another goddamn horse. What is it?
It's not a horse. Hold on, we're looking it up.
Can't
right
identify
now.
It.
We're looking it up right now. Hold on.
It's eating.
It's a horse eating?
It's a horse.
Hold on. What?
Another bloody horse.
Rob, just turn it off. Tell me what it is.
It's a dog eating hard, crunchy food.
A dog eating hard, crunchy food.
It might sound innocent, but it's dangerous. It's dangerous, mate. So keep your hands and feet in its mouth.
Kristen, don't go away, Matt. Just go away. John, you win again. Now here is Steve Irwin. Steve.
First of all, Johnny, you double your score to $30. We throw in a $24 bonus plus your previous total, bringing your big whopping total, mate, to $106. That's right. And now, Kristen, would you like to hear your parting gifts?
Kristen?
Did we lose Kristen?
I think she was deeply disappointed by her wrong answer.
Did she hang up?
John, are you there?
Yes.
Kristen, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right. You want a DVD copy of... Let me let my little baby Bob drink out of the toilet. A DVD copy.
He's thirsty.
I'm Sex and the City. He's got a big head. The complete fifth season. Go ahead, have a drink, baby Bob. You go on, my daddy reads the prizes. Now available on DVD and VHS. That was him exhaling through his nose. From HBO Home Video.
GQ Baby.
Eight sizzling half-hour episodes. You want one of this? Available wherever DVDs and VHS is sold. But wait, there's more.
Go ahead, have a drink, baby Robert.
Hey, that's right. You want to Curb Your Enthusiasm prize pack, mate. Kendall, I want to hear him drink some. Somebody brought the cougar back in. Catch all the new episodes of HBO's comedy series Sex and the City and Curb Your Enthusiasm every Sunday night. Congratulations, Kristen, and thanks for playing the game.
Right, thank you, Kristen.
Thank you.
Thank you, Johnny. See you next time.
Thanks, LQ.
All right, kids. Have a great weekend. Thank you very much.
I feel sorry for Kristen. She really wanted to win bad.
If there's one time we could bring baby Bob back in.
He's in my bag. Hold on a second. I'll unfire
it. Come on out. There you go. There's my lovely little baby.
Now you get a drink of the cutie pie. Yes, have a drink, baby Robert. Go ahead. Go on. He's so thirsty, especially after that long flight from Australia. There you go.
Well, you know, most babies drink out of a bottle. He's drinking out of like a...
It's a little tiny basin that I've got. It resembles our toilet back home. That's what he likes to drink
like
out of.
A dog did.
The only problem is when he drinks that much, he gets powerful gas.
Mm-hmm.
It's very frustrating. That's right. Now, don't drink so fast. You'll get terrible gas, baby Robert. I swear to God, he won't stop until he gets there.
It
feels better.
That was a little one. Now, we might need to get some more out.
That's a lot of pressure.
Baby Robert?
Stop drinking now. It's time to burp. Let me burp him.
Okay.
Let me just pat him on the back.
Good Lord.
That's me, lad. I love that, baby.
Steve, always remember, never forget, Low Budget Jeopardy is a production of...
Coron Incorporated and is distributed by King World. I'm King and the baby to stop drinking. Come on, baby Robert. We'll drink that tonight.
There you go. Wow, Steve Irwin. And oh man, that's a strange looking baby. He'll grow into that tongue.
That's a funny bit. You know who really laughed that bit?
No.
Joe Gibbs.
Wow.
There it is.
For boss.
Wow. In a world where owning a radio was strictly forbidden, one man found a way to bring good news to his people.
Here we go, Buzz.
He made it up.
Okay, Buzz.
Yes.
What is your lead story today on the News in the Comments show?
Today, there's still no cure for cancer, but we're building a house on the moon.
You always have that optimistic outlook.
He does. He's positive.
Cure for cancer, but we're building a house on the moon.
That's right.
What if the house on the moon was for people with cancer?
Yeah, well, that'd be a start.
Wouldn't that be a great way of quarantining them?
They're not contagious.
They're not contagious.
So says you. Stay tuned, everybody.
Stay tuned for news and comments coming up on the Don and Mike Show.
That was very
professional.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
The Don and Mike Show.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Right, right. Time for Buzz Burbank and Guy Birdley's News Now. Buzz brought to us by Veramax Sexual Pleasure Performance Enhancer. Doctor developed.
Someone called for a doctor.
Clinically tested Veramax works. Get it at Rite Aid, GNC, other select retailers. Try it today. Veramax 1-888. Try VMAX. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike. If you're running for re-election, and he is, you promise him the moon, and he is. President Bush will announce Wednesday plans to establish a permanent human settlement on the moon. He also wants to send Americans to Mars, but just a visit. The idea was hatched by the same group that investigated the explosion of the space shuttle Columbia, and the last time humans visited the moon was over 30 years ago. No word yet on what it'll cost, but you can bet it'll be astronomical.
Hey, I get it.
The White House says... Thank you. I'll be here the rest of the week. The White House says it knows this will be tough. Push past Congress, which is already looking at huge budget deficits for years to come.
Hold on, I just want to get Joe Gibbs' reaction again.
Yeah, you think that's
you said that was...
I said the cost could be astronomical.
Yeah.
And it was funny.
Joe Gibbs.
And you know, what is all this talk about the moon and Mars all the time? There are other planets. How come we're not trying to get to Uranus?
Oh, we'll get there.
I mean, really, you never hear enough about it.
It's because everybody knows how to get there.
Yeah, that's right. But you say stay away from there.
I've been there.
Well, that should have been our lead story.
Yeah, that would have been it. That's breaking news. You've been there?
I mean, I've wiped.
Oh, your own.
Yeah,
well, that's a start.
Are there rings around?
Yeah, right. It's Uranus. Which would, if you're speaking about it, like I would be.
Sometimes it's confused with a star, a bright purple star.
Then it would be my anus. Not Uranus, it's my anus.
Right. Uranus.
Is my anus to me.
And mine is mine to me.
And yours would be Uranus to me.
And it's always Uranus to me.
Love what you think.
Well, thank you.
All this comes during a presidential promise to cut the debt, not make it bigger. Can oil wells on the moon be far behind?
Mm-hmm.
You know, they sent that that like Radio Shack toy, and I know it's very expensive, but it looks like one of those remote control Radio Shack.
One they sent to Mars.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And they're getting back pictures.
3D.
That, to me, looked like you could have gone to Palm Springs, California.
Mm-hmm.
You could have put a little camera
right.
up on top of one of those Radio Shack things and done the remote control and just tell people it's Mars.
There's a movement that says we never made it to the moon.
Really? Yeah, that was all just staged.
It was all staged, and I think it's fixed.
Rob, I saw the movie. I believe it's Capricorn
1.
Uh-huh.
Is that the name of Capricorn 1? It co-stars O.J. Simpson. That's all I know.
That's right. Right.
A movie saying that it was all done on a Hollywood set.
Yeah, and then it's the sequel never got made because it was too controversial.
Which was?
Capricorn Hole.
Well, sorry. Although the Democratic hopefuls may not be able to stifle W's re-election plans, scantily clad women just might. They call themselves Babes Against Bush. And although that seems like an oxymoron,
are they shaved?
Really just calendar girls with a cause.
So they don't like shave their pubic area?
I don't know, but I
that
guess.
Is a great question, if they're shaved or not.
We're concerned about AIDS inside our White House. Make no mistake about it.
Quoting one grammatically challenged babe, me and a few of my friends were going to anti-war rallies over the summer, but we felt like our voices just weren't being heard. Maybe cleavage is bad for acoustics. But they object to other Bush policies, not just the war. Quoting another lass, I've never modeled before, but I strongly believe in the cause.
Baby.
So we put together a calendar seasoned with flimsy T-shirts and thongs and notations on all the dates they feel the president's done something stupid or destructive. Thousands of orders for the calendars have poured in so far.
You know how I kind of like that Wesley Clark guy?
Uh-huh.
I got me an email the other day from a supporter, a new supporter.
Madonna?
Oh, yeah, sent to me personally. Yeah. And I guess 2 million other people. And I kind of went, stay away.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And I said, oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I got an
open-mouthed email
from
Madonna.
Yeah, and you know, that's...
And really, when I first got it, I thought it was the lady that worked in the sales department.
Careful, there may be a virus
there
attached
to
that.
There is a lady working here named Madonna. She's worked here for a long time.
Really?
No, well, it's Madonna.
Yeah, you're right.
The New York doctor...
Now, which Madonna are you talking about? The Madonna that works at the radio station?
No, no.
Or the material girl?
The material girl. You know, her reputation and all.
Mm, gotcha.
Yeah, that's the virus joke he made.
That's right.
He took his funny pills today.
I know he did.
The New York doctor...
I have no problem with it. I'm just noting that he took his funny pills. Right, Joe?
Yeah, Joe Gibbs.
The New York doctor who forced George Harrison's dying hand into autographing a guitar has been demoted. Dr. Gil Lederman, a cancer doctor,
is out. Ultra doctor?
Yeah. He's out as director of radiation oncology at a Staten Island hospital.
He's a cancer doctor. He's doing great.
Yeah.
You know, I wouldn't, you know, the last time I checked, we haven't beaten cancer.
No.
So I wouldn't go around and say, hey, I'm a cancer doctor.
Yeah, exactly.
Because it's like, hey, I'm a failure.
Exactly.
Even if you're really in the field and you're trying.
Uh-huh.
Maybe that's just his meteorological sign.
What?
Cancer. Well, we had Capricorn 1.
I'm a cancer doctor.
Well, where's Pisces? Just around the corner.
Very, very suspicious by nature.
Letterman had that job.
And that's
for,
a D, not a T,
a
right?
D. So I'm trying to say Lederman.
Lederman.
Hey, buddy. It's your old pal Dave.
Yeah. Hey, Dave.
I wonder if you would take a request.
What?
Yeah.
What?
Go into real estate.
Oh, Lederman.
Oh,
yeah,
man.
Not with a T. Lederman.
Oh, I understand.
Lederman.
It's been instant karma.
Hello, this is Dr. Lederman. And would you please take your hand and autograph the guitar, even though you're dying?
And now, listen, little Johnny's going to sing for you.
There you are. That's right.
This is Michael Hoffman, and you're listening to Jew to Jew.
It's been instant karma for the bad doctor this week. His offer to donate the guitar to charity was rejected.
Hey, instant karma.
Thank you. And he's being sued by Harrison's family for $10 million. The hospital says surgically removing Letterman from his post had nothing to do with the guitar incident. They say he'd been working on this for over a year toward booting the guy. The doc had already been fined for talking to the news media about Harrison's condition during his treatment. A German Elvis Presley impersonator, and already I'm laughing, has set the new Guinness World Record for the continuous singing of Elvis songs. 28-year-old Shazad Shelvis Eichmeier.
Hi.
Hi, I'm Shazad. Hi. I'm Shazad Shelvis Eichmeier.
Right.
Here's what he had to say.
Oh, you are a great fan. Thank you so much.
Yeah. He spent 40 hours. 40 hours in that jumpsuit, beginning with That's All Right and ending with My Way.
You mean, so, if regardless of your German, Italian, right. French, whatever, uh-huh. 40 hours, that's it?
40 hours is the new record. He broke the old record.
Hey, you could do that this weekend.
I can't get the time off.
Do you sing them all, or you obviously repeat them over and over again?
I don't know. He must have repeated some songs, because he went for 40 hours.
I'm caught in a trap.
Taking only 30-second breaks between each song, he rested for only 15 minutes every 4 hours.
Doing Hound Dog.
A different arrangement.
You eat nothing but a hound dog. I love this guy, Clint. He has been singing for the last 40 hours. Shelvis Eichmeier.
The old record, of course, there was one, was 25 hours and 33 minutes.
And it's really, Rob, yeah. I don't know if anybody heard that except me. That was very cheap of you.
Hey, I'm a cheap guy.
To work your plug-in.
Yeah.
But the wedding show that he's doing this weekend prevents him from
when did he work that plug-in?
Marathon. He threw it in the middle of all that stuff. He just the wedding show. You remember how Rob used to be the show for the car show?
Right.
Yeah. Used to do the infomercial?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now he's doing an infomercial. Here he comes levering up.
I think it's absolutely tasteless to be doing that during our show, to be promoting the wedding show.
He's doing a show.
Mike is the official voice of the wedding show.
I'm the voice of the wedding show.
Here's a guy who...
You can call the wedding show.
Here is a guy who is just with a pubic hair.
Yes.
Just a thin...
Yeah. You don't have to see him. Once you say pubic hair, you don't need to pop anything else in there.
We know how close. Yeah.
He's so close to having a wrecked marriage himself.
Mm-hmm.
How could you possibly be the host of a show called The Marriage Show?
That's the reason. It's the wedding show. That's the reason.
I'm sorry.
I'm making all these connections to get great deals for my next marriage.
You know, having a nearly destroyed marriage, or even having a failed marriage like me, you can still host the wedding show.
If the price is right, Don, you can host anything.
Apparently. But Rob,
Don,
how will you deal with the fact that I know on this show you're outnumbered, you're the minority, and I'm not talking about male, female, I'm not talking about gender, I'm talking about you're working with two beautiful, strong black women.
That's true.
And you must take orders from a black woman. How are you going to deal with that?
It remains to be seen. I invite everyone to tune in tomorrow at 3 o'clock.
You're the worst. You are the worst. What do you think of that, Joe?
He's amused.
Man.
What a whore.
It was an accident. A co-worker of South Dakota construction guy Jed Bryant didn't mean to shoot him in the head with a nail gun.
Jed!
But there it was, a 3-inch nail backed by 90 pounds of pressure slamming straight into Jed's skull.
Jed!
Missed his brain stem by a quarter of an inch. His family prayed for his survival.
You know, why are there always guys like this? I saw this guy on TV Buzz where they had the X-ray.
Mm-hmm.
And X-ray. It's like something you see on a sitcom.
Yeah, you really can see the nail?
You see the nail go all the way into the guy's head, and they say, like, millimeter.
Quarter inch. Yeah. He would have been
smaller
killed.
Than that,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it would have gone right to his brain.
Mini millimeter.
The brain stem. The brain.
Mini millimeter.
Zip it.
His family prayed for his survival. Their prayers were answered. Quoting Jed, I could actually hear like little chunks of bone moving around inside there. I was amazed.
Jed.
On a construction site in Tyler, Texas.
How are ye, Jed?
In Tyler, Texas, meanwhile, 40-year-old James Runyon accidentally shot himself with a nail gun in the heart. He, too, will completely recover. See you at Home Depot.
Wow.
Oh. 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 Oh.
I understand. I don't understand the other one. Yeah. Was an accident,
right,
with one guy trying to nail something to a wall, and he
hit his friend,
shot the guy.
Right.
How is it possible that you are a solo performer? You're holding the nail gun, and it gets turned around, and you shoot yourself in the heart.
I think you're still trainable after it's over. It was actually on the ground, and he tripped over it and set it off, and it apparently was just the right angle to fire right into his heart.
Oh, excuse me, Ricky. Ricky, I did see what you were doing. It felt good, didn't it? It's all right. We all have feelings like this sometimes. I'm just glad you're doing this in the privacy of your own room. When you're a little bit older, we'll have to talk more about these feelings and what causes them and how we can control these feelings.
That's right.
I'm sorry I intruded on your privacy. I'll be sure to knock next time, okay?
Hi, I'm Cameron Gray, Operations Director. Don't blame me.
That was from the movie Sex Education, the ABC, the Sex Education for Trainables.
That's Trainables, right. And we're going to have more of that on Monday, right?
Yes, we are.
Excellent.
Fantastic segment.
Delightful segment.
In San Diego, doctors are amazed this woman survived after all of her skin fell off. Her skin and the membranes covering her internal organs. Her eyes were peeling, along with her mouth and throat. Quoting a doctor...
How is Kathy Cologne doing?
Quoting a doctor, once the skin starts to slough, there's no stopping it. It's rather dramatic to really see this coming off in sheets.
I knew it. I knew it would happen to her years ago.
That's so gross.
All that tanning, constantly going to the tanning salon.
Constant tanning.
Turns out this woman's immune system was reacting to some medications. Fortunately, and even to their own amazement, doctors were able to turn her around. They began by covering her body with an artificial skin.
Turn that thing around.
Come on, I want to hear this.
Artificial skin for 48 hours.
I'm like a guy that, it's like riding next to a car wreck with these two guys.
Right.
And I'm sitting there going, come on, shut up. I want to look. I want to look and see the blood.
Turn that thing around.
Only they could take skin sloughing off and make it sexual.
Look at that sweet ass. Oh, the meat fall off the bone.
Take it all off.
The sweet ass thing. That is.
Doctors say the fact that this woman is alive and will stay that way is a miracle.
Is she going to get her skin back?
She's already getting it back, and she's on her way to recovery. She's going to be fine as if it never happened.
Wow.
Amazing.
See, and you were getting mad at me just for saying, oh, turn that thing around. See that ass.
See what happens when you turn that thing around?
Boy, is that a nice, nice ass. Hold on. Wait, give me one second.
Thank you. Well, is this a tribute to that woman?
Yeah.
This is Frank Sinatra,
from the Don and Mike Show. From the Don and Mike Show to her.
I like that.
The Sopranos. Surely you remember The Sopranos.
Oh, hold on. I got Tony Soprano saying hello to us somewhere.
Yes, you do.
Okay.
Hi, Don and Mike. We appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you.
You remember Tony. Well, he and the gang will be back on March 7th for 13 episodes, the final 13 episodes.
Jesus.
There were plans to make 10 more next year, but Gandolfini just rolled his eyes when that was mentioned. Quoting creator David Chase, I think this last 10 episodes will be the movie. That's the plan.
What is the deal with how hard it is to make that show?
Oh, it's not,
there are other shows that are just as difficult to make.
Right.
And a lot of the stars... for instance, I was reading Edie Falco, who plays Carm.
Mm-hmm.
She's already complaining, saying the only roles that are coming her way are playing Italian-American women.
Right.
James Gandolfini is complaining, saying that he's up for all these fantastic roles, and nobody can picture him as anything except...
Mm-hmm.
Tony Soprano.
Right.
So if that's the case, why don't these people just re-up until we're sick of The Sopranos?
Right.
And keep getting the money. Also, during this, James Gandolfini got engaged. I don't know if it was yesterday or if it was the day before.
Right.
But his ex-wife is so pissed at him.
Mm-hmm.
James Gandolfini's ex-wife, it was in the Inquirer. Got it here. She says that Tony Soprano, James Gandolfini... used to snort coke with all of the people on The Sopranos.
I'd heard that.
That's a nice indictment of everybody on the show.
Jesus, that's an angry woman.
He did coke with everybody on The Sopranos. flunked out of his rehab, and then was arrested in California on a DUI. Also, quote, I'm going to quote now Mrs. Gandolfini.
The widow.
Also, he had kinky sex with multiple mistresses. That's what the outgoing Gandolfini lady has to say.
But that's what Tony did.
Right.
All that blow he did with the cast, is that what killed Nancy Marchand?
Now he,
shut up! You're on a line.
He said,
what are you talking about?
Oh, boy, you!
Hey, James, where's my razor?
He says that she's emotionally unstable. This is his wife now. Mm-hmm. She threatened to commit suicide, and she hinted that she feared that if she did anything, that he would kill their kid.
Well, you know what? She's a liar. And there's nothing quite like that delicious Coke. I enjoy it. Where's my Colombian flake? Come on!
Can I tell you something now that you're dead and most of the skin is peeled off your body?
Yes, Don.
What a great ass you've got.
Thank you.
Let me see that thing.
I hate the way you talk.
I'm going to turn you around.
Thing.
Come on.
Baby.
Oh, that woman is not your aunt.
Well, Gandolfini says his own divorce problems have made playing the separation from Carm a little uncomfortable on the show. By the way, David Chase promises to bring the show's story to a definite ending. As we rejoin the family this year, Tony and Carm will still be separated, but Furio will be gone, and a bunch of other mobsters from the family will get out of jail to stir up things.
All right,
well,
good.
Got some of the, their, who is it that they're bringing up this year, Buzz?
Didn't keep a list.
To be on the show, hold on. Trust me, I've got it here. I've got so many goddamn papers, but I've got...
anybody big? Anybody, any big names coming on the show?
It was a name. It was somebody not necessarily a
Ralph
name.
Macho?
No. Making guests. Do you know who I'm trying to think of?
The only one I can remember, there was a lot of guests. Robert Loggia is going to be on this season.
Oh, good.
Frankie Avalon is going to be on this season.
No, if it was Frankie Valli, not Frankie Avalon.
That's right.
What's the difference?
Joe Santos, Paulie Bergen.
Yeah. Tim Daly, the guy from Wings.
Yeah.
But,
really?
But there's
he's got to be an FBI guy.
But there's somebody else who's going to play a. God damn it, who is it that's going to take Ralphie's part?
Is it Steve Buscemi?
That's it.
Because he directed the Pine Barrens episode.
Okay, very good.
And Steve Buscemi is a good guy to take Joey Pants' place.
Absolutely. That's fantastic.
He's nice and weird.
Oh, good actor, too.
If you want to see Donald Trump tearing into CBS honcho Les Moonves roll tape on this evening's Access Hollywood... Trump still.
Now, why would he do that?
Well, Trump still steamed about.
Leslie is a wonderful man.
We all know that, but Trump disagrees. He still steamed about CBS dropping his Miss Universe pageant, which now moves to NBC. That's the same network that now carries his lame-ass reality show, The Apprentice. Trump's also mad.
You're fired! That's all I've seen. I've seen the commercials. It's just. You're fired.
That's the high point of the show. Trump's also mad at Moonves for putting CSI on against his new reality show. Here's what the Donald has to say about all that.
Well, now, wait, hold on. He's mad that CBS is
putting, I guess, an extra episode of CSI on
against... Well, everybody knows he's an ass.
Yeah. Well put, and funny you should mention that. But first, to quote Donald Trump, referring to Les Moonves, he made a fool of himself over Miss Universe. If I were Sumner Redstone and saw the bad deal he made, he wouldn't be running CBS, end quote. Quoting a CBS lackey, Les is running the number one network, and we're somehow managing to limp along without Miss Universe. Trump's reputation as one of the world's greatest horses' asses remains unchallenged.
Wow!
End quote.
Wow, that's from the PR department?
That's from the Tiffany Network.
You know why? Because they screwed with Leslie.
That's right.
You never screw with a guy with a girl's name. You never do. And listen, about the Tiffany Network, that's what I say to the Tiffany Network. I was.
You're mad? You're mad at CBS?
Here's why.
He's so mad.
Here's why. You know, every set of my home is wired to CBS. I can't change the station. Yeah, it's part of the deal.
Yeah, it's part of the deal that we signed.
So we work for CBS. So I'm talking with Frigga last night, and then she says, "Do you want to watch Friends?" And, you know, I've kind of gotten into the, you know, how you doing?
Right.
I told you I'm the last guy in the world to get Joey, but I like it. Uh-huh. I said, no. I've seen the ads saying a special 2-hour CSI.
Ah.
I said, let's TiVo Friends, watch CSI.
Mm-hmm.
So we sit down, and here's the thing with CSI. It comes on, you know it's a new one because William Peterson has the beard.
Right.
And I'd like to bring another topic, another day. Mike, maybe you could tell me, why is William Peterson totally gray in his hair, but his beard is just as brown as my BM this morning.
You know, some guys have that kind of coloring, but his, I can tell, is definitely an altered beard. And what do you think of me?
I like you better. You're letting your gray come out.
Letting my gray come out. I believe I have the whitest beard on the show now.
Oh, no.
I have a Santa Claus. I think I've got you beaten in the beard.
I'm much more. Rob's the whitest of all of us, of course.
Everyone,
we're talking about in the soul.
Him the coward of the county.
But CBS has promoted the two-hour CSI.
Right.
So I'm watching this last night, and it comes on, and you go, okay, he's got the beard. All right, so I know it's a new one. It gets going, and you go, this seems vaguely familiar. This might be a plot line I saw that.
Mm-hmm.
And it was one of those things, it wasn't until like 20 minutes into the show that
you
I
realized
go,
it's a repeat?
I go, ah, hey. I just got chipped.
They just cheated us.
This is a rerun. I could have been watching. How you doing?
But I mean, what about the second hour?
The second hour was new.
Okay. So they put the new opening on an old show to try to fool you.
Yeah, they did.
Oh.
They did, those bastards.
Yeah, they're tough there at the network.
Leslie. Buzz, what's next?
Coming up, some secret phone numbers have been...
Whoa, what was that again?
Let me try that again. Coming up, some super secret phone numbers have been made public.
Oh. Yes. Well, do you have them?
I don't personally, no.
But you know someone who does have them?
Yes, lots
you
of
do?
People.
Okay, all right. That's next. The Buzz's secret phone numbers.
Super secret.
Yes. Phone. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Gosh, I hate to interrupt. It's all been so incredibly fascinating and entertaining and instructive. Really, the time has just flown by.
The Don and Mike Show.
Carolina! Why anybody yell?
Happily cruising aboard the rudderless ship, Don and Mike.
Oh, yeah, Shaggy Carolina. Let me dedicate this to my man, the king.
Yeah,
God,
a happy man,
Joe Gibbs. Let's count all the times that he didn't call Daniel Snyder Mr. Snyder yesterday.
Right.
Daniel mentioned, Daniel and I have been working nonstop. Daniel, here's what I know about Daniel. Daniel come down. He's first time I got to really know Daniel was in, to see the way Daniel, Dan and I have been working, Daniel and all that. Time Daniel called me, went real quick. Daniel, obviously, Daniel and I got that from Mr. Cook. Yes, sir, Mr. Cook.
That was a good press conference.
The king.
12 Daniels. 12 Daniels and 2 Mr. Cooks.
He has risen.
Yes, he's back.
Joe Gibbs, he has risen.
The second coming.
Why don't we just give him before the first game, why don't we just drag
a
him?
A mobile?
No. Why don't we just drag him on a cross to FedEx Field?
Well, because he's resurrected now, so
yeah.
He would be in robes floating over the stadium.
That's right. Yeah, but...
he's back, and I couldn't be happier.
Just move the stone, and there he is.
He's there. He materialized.
There you go. There's an entrance.
If you ever wanted to call Steve Young's house or Kareem Abdul-Jabbar on his cell, this was and may still be your chance.
Who did you just mention, Buzz?
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Hold on. You said it.
I did.
I got it.
Wow.
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Welcome, baby, to our exclusive backdoor party.
That's what I thought.
Like rough, hot, and
hot. Okay, it's hot. All right, that's enough of that.
You know,
wow.
There used to be a time when you would call.
You could play the whole thing, and the whole front part of it would be fun.
You would call that number, and the lady would say, "Hi, welcome to Ask for Ass."
Mm-hmm. Now they're saying F'd up the A.
Yeah. Wow.
Now the back part is fun.
That's bad. Well, there goes that joke.
Yeah, now maybe we can find another one. Well, here's what happened.
Okay.
And here's why we're talking about these phone numbers. Some poor soul at the Associated Press Wednesday pushed a wrong button and sent out AP's list of super secret phone numbers over the wire. The numbers to access 750 sports celebrities. The AP immediately sent a notice to its subscribers to disregard, destroy, and not disseminate that list. But in this internet age, there was no way to unring the bell. One of AP's subscribers immediately fired off some emails. The unlisted cell phones and home phones started ringing, and so did the phones at the Associated Press. The sports celebs were not happy, and neither were their families, especially in the cases of the late Ted Williams and Gene Autry.
Now, I've got the list here. This
right.
is not a joke.
Yeah, it's a real list.
Here's some of the names that we might try next week on the show. We've highlighted the ones that we think are relevant. We have Bobby Brown,
mm-hmm.
George W. Bush,
wow,
yeah.
Dan Dierdorf, Lefty Drizel, Dale Earnhardt. Well, that'll be a long distance call. Bill Elliott, Doug Flutie, Wayne Huizenga, and that's Magic Johnson, Leroy Jordan, Mel Kiper, Larry Little, all these people. Let me do try one of them, though.
Okay, good. Okay.
Let's try Joe Theismann's parents.
Okay.
Because on some of these it says agent.
Ooh, I'm so glad you called, because I'm ready to let go. Ooh, this wet, nasty tranny action is brought to you by...
Okay, that was...
Tranny action.
That was obviously not...
Tranny action.
Obviously not Joe Theismann's parent.
Wow.
I guess not. But wow, this is a hell of a list.
Sure.
And Buzz, I know you... seriously, you have respect, I don't know why, for the Associated Press.
Well, they're the best. They're the biggest and the best.
Well, they effed up because they let this list go yesterday, and I got
right.
it now, too.
Everybody has a bad day.
Yeah.
Somebody in particular over at AP had a bad day.
Yeah,
I'm afraid they did. Well, the Farrelly brothers are making a new full-length three...
Oh, hold on a second. Now, here's what I would want to try, seriously.
Okay.
One? Bart Starr.
Oh, fantastic. You're a big fan.
I named my kid after Bart Starr, really.
Well, that would be good. It's something to talk about.
Bart Starr, area code 205, which is the same area code, incidentally, as John Stallworth from the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Ooh. Ooh, how do you feel about getting the entire package?
That is the scariest one I've ever heard.
Yeah.
That made me nervous.
Yeah. You want to hear that again?
Yeah, I would.
Please.
Maybe go a little deeper with it, so to speak.
Yeah,
a little bit.
Ooh.
That's a disturbing one right there.
That is nasty. Calling Bart Starr.
Your go. Hero.
My hero.
Takes a while to ring.
Ooh, how do you feel about getting the entire package? And I mean everything. Ooh, with me, you can have it both ways. All at the same time.
Why?
I certainly find it convenient. The question is, can you? Ooh, if you think you're a man enough and you're over 18, let's get it on. Brought to you by Digicom Enterprises for only $1.
This is the Shemail line.
Digicom. I never would have guessed
the Shemail line.
777-1249.
Okay, anyway, Buzz, sorry about that.
Well, the Farrelly brothers are making a new full-length Three Stooges movie. The Farrelly brothers made Something About Mary and Dumb and Dumber. Their new movie will star present-day actors as the late Mo Howard, the late Larry Fine, and the late Jerome Howard. It'll take place in the present. There will be...
Come on, Popsy-Wopsy, we're ready for the wedding.
I changed my mind. I don't want to be married.
That's what you think. You're going to marry her right now.
I'll marry you when I'm ready.
Are you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
There will be no one playing Shemp, Joe DiRita, or Joe Besser.
Yeah!
The Farrelly's
host... Because they don't count.
Well, it's currently Larry and Moe. Everybody knows that. But Shemp is fine. The Farrelly's...
Shemp is not fine.
He is fine.
Shemp is S.
Shemp is fine.
Shemp is shit.
Shemp kept that together. After Curly's stroke, Shemp kept it together.
Really, to be technical, only Larry is fine.
That's true. Shemp and Moe and Curly are ours. Well, the Farrellys hope to start shooting early this year on the new Stooges movie, and they're shooting for a summer 2005 release.
Now, what
date.
Are they doing? I mean, are they finding guys to imitate Curly, Larry, and Moe?
To be those three guys and to put them in a present-day situation.
You know, I'm liking it. The Farrelly brothers have a streak of movies going, and I'm not complaining. You know, Something About Mary, great. Then Shallow Hal, which is very funny, but it is one of those, they didn't say it when the movie came out, but it has a heart.
Yeah. Right.
It's a movie with a heart.
The
same with Stuck on You, with Greg Kinnear.
And even technically Something About Mary had a little,
Yeah, but Shallow Hal even more than Something About Mary, and Stuck on You even more.
Did you like Stuck on You?
Yeah, because it's too funny.
Right. Yeah.
I mean,
but it wasn't as good as you, because you thought it was going to be great.
Well, you know, it's gross. Right. And there's got a lot of great sex stuff and a lot of great toilet stuff.
Right.
And both those guys, Matt Damone and Greg Kinnear, are very funny together.
Right.
But it has a very, about halfway through, the movie turns and it becomes one of those, no matter how different we are all the same. And
right.
and Shallow Hal kind of had that.
He hates that, doesn't he?
He kind of had that, too. Yeah. I like the Farrelly.
You hate anything socially redeeming.
I like the Farrelly brothers with The Edge. And it's okay that in Something About Mary, there were two or three parts where you go, oh, that's okay.
Right.
But mainly Something About Mary was the old lady taking her clothes
yeah, I know.
And throwing the dog around.
And, you know, the number three hanging from the ear.
Right, yeah, yes. Uh-huh. Right. But even in Shallow Hal, you know, with Jack Black, who's great in the movie,
yeah.
At the very end, when he sees that he's with the big pig, it's like he goes, oh, well, I've loved you all along. And,
right.
And I don't know how many of you watch it. I watch you go, hey, wait a minute, hold on. If I want this crap, I'll watch Patricia Heaton in The Goodbye Girl.
Right.
I mean, I want a nice, shocking ending. Shocking.
Like but, where everybody dies.
Yeah, or has sex. Or, you know, something shocking.
Or dies having sex.
But don't get me wrong, I'm not complaining, because it's still, out of all the movies that are out there currently, I'd still say the recommendation would be Stuck on You is the best movie. IMHO.
You know what?
In my humble opinion.
I just realized something. Go to see Bad Santa. Go to see Bad Santa. You'll love it.
I think you're right. It's great, but I believe it's out of the theaters now.
No, it's not. It's still in the theaters. Yeah, you should go see Bad. If you're looking for that, you know what? Go see Bad Santa. There's a little feel goody in it, but not really.
Yeah. Yeah, it's gotten good reviews.
Okay.
Country singer Jerry Reed, who appeared in Smokey and the Bandit and had top 40 hits with
Jerry!
Amos Moses and When You're Hot, You're Hot, is now producing a musical. It's not a Broadway musical. It's a Nashville musical.
It's starring David Modell of the Baltimore Ravens.
Cod Roaster. That might be a good start for him. Cod Roaster opens this month. It's about three guys sitting around a campfire singing. So there's a show right there.
Very good.
Kathy Lee Gifford is no longer all about sweetness and light. The once perky TV hostess has written a new song that's a little darker than that to which we've become accustomed.
Is this another episode of her making Frank pay for having banged that stew?
This is more self-reflecting, I think.
See?
Quoting one verse, I've known anxious moments, I've known sleepless nights, I've seen most of the world's greatest sights, I've seen more than I needed to see, and I wondered if the world has ever seen me.
Oh, God.
That's the new Kathy Lee
Gifford.
Hey, what do you think, Joe?
That's what Joe Gibbs thinks of it.
Joe Gibbs.
In other sports, it's a big weekend for football fans. The NFL playoffs continue for the second weekend. Tomorrow, Carolina and St. Louis will fight it out while New England...
the best weekend for 8 months!
New England takes on Tennessee in a game that will have at least 400 cases of exposure.
And let me just say this to our good friends listening to us on WNFL in Green Bay.
Go, Pat, go!
Right on.
Finally, those rascally TV news babes, what won't they do next? This week, we told you about an anchor woman caught stuffing a fruit tray and some smokes into her coat.
Mm-hmm.
Today, it's a former anchor in Youngstown, Ohio, who actually entered a wet T-shirt contest. The contest made it onto the internet.
Was it J.C. Hayward?
And some very reasonably priced videos.
George Michael.
No, quoting
him.
No, it wasn't him. Wasn't her. Quoting Catherine Bosley. What was I thinking?
Bosley.
Maybe she was thinking she was on vacation in Florida, and that's the kind of stuff people do on vacations in Florida. Now she's thinking she'll look for a new career.
Okay.
I'm Buzz Burbank on the Don and Mike Show.
Thank you, Buzz.
Sorry. No. No!
Oh, yeah.
No.
No. Oh, yeah.
No.
Yeah. We gotta go.
Time to go, man.
Gotta go. We'll be back Monday with a new episode. Have a great weekend, everybody. Love you, Frida. Love you, Bart. Don't kill yourselves. Don't hurt yourselves. A good day to you, sir.
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 You.
Tomorrow at 3.
Oh, you whore.
The Wedding Show. BM.
Eaters.
Again, Sammy Davis Jr. saying, be kind, be nice, and I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. And let me leave you swinging.